Fuck you!
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, and this the first Friday of April 2020. This is the Horn HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes, where already gathering is the merry band of folks who augment their live listening experience by participating in the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live from Monday through Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time and all times in between and on either end. So if you pick yourself out a screen name and a password and you jump in there, you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Bucko and Nels and Squeaky and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space today to become Man Cave. He'll fold space again shortly to appear in the old holler tree around which we gather for the extraordinary ordinary round table that is Friday on the front porch on the Horn. We'll get that started in about an hour or so. Okay, so if you'd like to be part of it, run over to HeadOn.live. There's a great big red and blue banner at the very top of the page that says participate in social distancing on the front porch via Skype, and a button for you to click, and it'll carry you right down the path through the forest and into the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, around which in which we gather around the extraordinary ordinary roundtable as aforementioned. Hi, I'm Bob. And you know, I realize that for a lot of people, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, at this point in time, has ceased to have a hell of a lot of meaning. Or put perhaps better, weekends don't have any meaning. Because there are so many people who are out of work in this country. But we maintain the schedule here just to maintain some sense of normalcy. You know, that's why Ohio Governor James Cox in 1920, I believe it was defeated by a philandering drunk by the name of Warren Gamaliel Harding. The philandering drunk Republican, this is just a moment in history, mind you, the philandering drunk Republican ran on a platform of a return to normalcy. And even though he was a philandering drunk Republican, the American people were stupid enough then to give him an overwhelming victory. It remains the biggest beatdown in presidential election history, percentage-wise, I believe. It was an interesting election because both men were from Ohio and both were newspaper men. Warren Gamaliel Harding, of course, was a philandering drunk Republican newspaper guy, whereas Cox was a Democrat and had been governor of Ohio and went on to found the Cox publishing empire that eventually went from having a newspaper in Dayton to having a newspaper in Dayton and as far away as Miami, Florida. And along the way, bought a newspaper in Atlanta and then bought a radio station called WSB. And
well, the rest, as they say, is history. But it didn't. But the country was sick of the aftermath of the First World War. They were sick of hearing about the League of Nations. They were just sick. And so, in the aftermath of the 1919 flu pandemic, they went to the polls and they elected a philandering, alcoholic Republican who promised them normalcy. Well, Warren Gamaliel Harding didn't make it through his first term. He dropped dead. Didn't really matter because, well, the Republicans would... They didn't really need him when it got right down to it. The whole purpose was to allow American business to run wild, speculation, betting on the margin. Exactly. Lee in New York says, philandering drunk, that sounds like an ordinary Republican to me. Precisely. Although he did manage to have an illegitimate kid. I think, yeah, it was Harding. Prompted the rhyme, "Hey Ma, Hey Ma, where's my pa?" But anyway, he cashed in, and Silent Cal Coolidge of, I believe, Massachusetts then became president, and the Republicans continued to run wild until they completely destroyed the economy of the United States and took a hell of and took most of the world with it. Because that's what Republicans do. They're looters. They're pirates. They're thieves, cut purses, foot pads, highwaymen of the political variety. And so the country didn't get a chance to get its feet back under it. So much for all that normalcy, huh? Until Coolidge was gone. And Hubert Hoover became president. That, you know, they gave the Republicans one more chance, and then the stock market went to hell, and everything else went with it. And in March of 1932, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who, I should note, was the running mate of Cox in 1920, was elected president in his own right and began to fix what ailed America. It's a little like that coming up here in November of this year. Will the nitwit Nero regime begin to...
Everything's all better now. The Rona has passed. And we're just going to get things back to normal, and only I can do it.
Yeah, well, they're worried about him. You know those really, really fast COVID-19 test kits that can generate a result in a matter of minutes? Yeah? Well, we were told that, oh gosh, they're going to be all over the country. You know, except when they're not. Because, as it turns out, you have a better chance of getting one of those new tests if you're trying to get into the general proximity of Corona Caligula. Really. Only 5,500. Well, it was earlier this week when they let him actually hold one, and he looked like a gorilla contemplating a laptop computer. That's really being kind of rude and nasty to the gorillas. And he praised it. Oh,
it's going to be wonderful. We're going to have such fast tests.
Yeah, with only 5,500 of the units have been manufactured for the whole country. And guess who has a bunch of them? That's right, the White House. Because like I said, they're worried about him. As of today, anyone, and I do mean anyone, who wants to be in the same space with Corona Caligula has to pass a COVID-19 test of the rapid variety. That was the news from Jennifer Jacobs, who serves as the senior White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. But there's always a there's always a wrinkle. There's always a loophole. The only people who don't have to do that are members of the White House press corps. Mainly because the reporters are kept at what is deemed to be an acceptable social distance from Corona Caligula. Yeah. Interesting, huh? Yeah. Oh, by the way, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And today is no different. So thanks go out to our third day of the month subscribers, Jean and Anne across the pond in merry old England, and our fondest thoughts and best wishes and hopes go out to Jean and Anne. They deal with a lot of stuff that you and I don't have to deal with. Thanks to Stephen. Thank you to Janice, and thank you to John, all four of you. Thank you very kindly, five actually. Thank you very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep the program on the air. If you'd like to be a subscriber alongside the fine folks that I just mentioned, over at headon.live, there on the main page, is the means by which one may become a subscriber. Or you can just kick in a la carte. And we could use some a la carte kicking in today because the fundraising goal is at $540. Yeah. That means that we have raised exactly $60 of the fundraising goal for April so far. So we're at $540. And thanks to everyone who has kicked in. So this evening, as we go through the front porch conversation, every little bit helps because it's going. I know that the struggle has only begun, and as long as I can stay up to date on the bills here, we can keep this going. So you know, 54 folks at $10, 10 people at $54. And any combination along the way will be a huge, huge help. Who else deserves to be tested? Well, I had to go out again today because I had to pick up my prescriptions. And I get my scripts over at the little local hospital about 25 miles from here. And they had signs up all over, you know, no visitors allowed in the hospital. Because a large number of the beds in the hospital are devoted to long-term care. And if the virus were to get loose in there, it would be a horror. And there were signs directing people to go that way for COVID testing between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Me, I got my scripts and got the hell out. But while I was out today, I went and picked up another dozen jugs of water. And there in the Wally world, I was seeing a whole lot more folks wearing masks. And you know what the folks wearing masks were doing? Well, most of them had their mask underneath their nose. And the ones that were wearing them right, were touching the masks, rubbing the masks, fidgeting the masks, messing with the masks, thereby, in each instance, making certain that the masks were absolutely useless as nipples on a dude. And, you know, I saw one lady, and I wasn't mean or anything, but she was gloved up, and she had a mask on, you know, not the fabric type, but it was formed. She had it pulled down below her nose because it's irritating as hell wearing the things. And I very gently looked at her and said, "Ma'am, that thing's doing you no good at all as long as it's below your nose and as long as you're touching it." Arguably, by touching it, you're putting yourself at greater risk than you were in the first place. And to her credit, she said, "Oh, thank you. Nobody told me how to deal with these things. They just said we should wear one." I don't know who they was, but take her at her word. And that's part of the problem. We've got a great burning debate in America right now. And of course, it's the wrong goddamn debate. To mask or not to mask. Or will a bandana do? Or as COVID Caligula says, scarves. You noticed that, didn't you? Not scarves, but scarves. And so you got people who are already terrified and terrorized, trying to get their hands on masks, that they don't have the first microscopic clue of how to use. It's kind of like the gloves. Gloves are great, but if you fuck up taking them off and then you rub your little pink tomato nose, you're fucked. Is the multimillionaire for-profit media out there saying, here's how to deal with a mask, or here's how to take off your gloves? Of course not. Of course not. They're too busy doing things like booking Marco Rubio for an interview. Oh, my aching back. I saw that this morning. And that booking any goddamn Republican senator at all on any alleged news program at this point in time is nothing short of 200 proof journalistic malpractice. Plain and goddamn simple. But they can't help themselves. And so there was Marco Rubio trying to defend white supremacist adjacent illegitimate Florida governor Ron Monkey Up DeSantis. God, if only we had a viable a Democratic messaging machine, there'd be ads on billboards and Facebook and all kinds of social media and TV and radio. Tell Ron DeSantis to stop monkeying up the response to COVID-19. Close the mega churches. But then again, you know, why did I even continue that thought? Because we don't have that kind of messaging. You know, so, oh well. Thank you for getting us started this evening. Thanks going out to Trevor and to our dear sister Jude. Thank you very kindly indeed. That gets us down to 510. And Stephen New York said, let's kick it off with a $10 everybody must stay home, paraphrasing Dylan challenge.
Everybody must stay home.
Very good. So Steve would like somebody to match 10 bucks, and that'll take us down below the $500 mark, and we'll be off and running. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Jude. And thank you, Trevor. Really, Bob, says Flavio? You think there will ever even be an election? I don't. I think neither the Republicans nor Trump are incompetent. Stop calling the Republicans and Trump incompetent. They're very competently and very deliberately destroying the United States. That is their mission. They do not want an election. I don't even think there will be a Potemkin, I mean pro forma one. It's impossible to avoid at least speculating upon that topic. And there's some evidence to suggest that they're working at it. But we cannot let that be the de facto operating position from which we sally forth. Because if that's the case, then we're licked before we start. So let's presume we're going to have one, and let's acknowledge that Corona Caligula does not have the presidential power to order a nationwide lockdown. It still has to be done state by state by state, and that's why we're in the fucked up mess we're in, waiting for a real disaster to unfold. I know the attention of the nation is focused, and rightfully so, on the horrors that New York is experiencing right now. But here's a terrifying little piece of information. Even though the death toll is mounting in New York, and even though their infections are measured and their deaths in the thousands, there is a state where diagnoses are rising at a much faster rate than they are in New York. Care to guess? Talabama is reporting infections at a more rapid rate of increase than New York is. And Talabama doesn't have half the hospital capacity, probably not even a fourth of the hospital capacity. And Talabama doesn't have the Medicaid expansion, because Talabama rejected it because we can't have the federal government putting its jackboot down on our freedom-loving necks next to our tattoo where it says the South will rise again and only God can judge me. We can't have that there. We can't be, they can't force us to accept free money from the federal government unless it's free money we want to accept. And so, with all of the impending disaster and none of the humor, of Wile E. Coyote, or perhaps Marvin Martian, saying, "Where's the kaboom? Where's the earth-shattering crash? Oh, the Elodian Q-32 exploding space modulator has been stolen. Delays, delays." Alabama is getting ready to go boom. And they still don't have a statewide mandatory order to shelter in place. But remember, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey, she done said that Alabama values life. She said that the day that she signed the bill curtailing a woman's constitutional right to manage the workings of her own body, and within 24 hours had also signed the death warrant to for a man of suspect guilt to be horizontally crucified down there in the heart of Dixie. Yeah. I wonder if Robert Bentley would have done any better. Remember, Kay Ivey is only governor of the state of Alabama because Robert Bentley, a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, homosexual fundamentalist Christian, a deacon in the First Baptist Church of Tuscaloosa. Well, he got caught on tape saying to a woman what wasn't his Christian family values, upstanding Bible-believing wife, that he sure did like it when he got to rub around on her breastises. And done other things, too. It's bad enough the First Baptist Church of Tuscaloosa done asked him to stop being a deacon. And then, when it looked like things were going to get right criminal, he had to stop being governor. And the next thing you know, Kay Ivey was governor of Alabama, her and her value in life. And it wasn't a week ago that she tweeted, "Y'all, we are not New York and we are not California. We don't need to stay at home. We don't need a shelter in place, Alda. This here's Alabama." Alabama, which, after all, was the first capital of the Confederacy. And Alabama is fixing to burn hotter and more deadly than anything William Tecumseh Sherman ever thought about doing. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sharon. Sharon answered Stephen New York's challenge, so hot diggity, we are down to $490 to go to get finished with the week. Thank you so much, Sharon. I cannot thank you enough. But Republicans telling the truth, they often don't mean to. They certainly don't like to. But every now and then they can be caught at it. And when they do, it gets interesting. But it probably should be. Lee in New York says, "Kay Ivey, hey, Bob, is her nickname Poison? Poison Ivy?" I think it is now. And you get a cowbell for that, Lee. Our side's messaging, Flavio says, you only need to look at Chuck Schumer or even Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers. God, we're still having primaries on Tuesday. He and the Democrats made such a valiant effort to get people absentee ballots and expanding voting locations. They hardly fought at all for either. Flavio is speaking tongue-in-cheek. Huh. There's a headline. Does wearing a mask in public help slow the spread of COVID-19? Signs point to yes, but only, and that's what I mean. They never add the caveat, only if you do it right. And therein lies the rub. Let's see here. Brooke Baldwin, an anchor at CNN, has announced that she too has been diagnosed with the Trump virus. She describes having chills, aches, and a fever that set on suddenly yesterday. And of course, then she was then able to get a test. But Republicans telling the truth, even if they don't mean to. And it's damned interesting. Oh, and by the way, since this is Friday, we won't be having a show on Sunday, but Sunday will be the 10th anniversary of the Upper Big Branch disaster, when the avarice and depraved indifference to the well-being of others led to the incineration of more than 24 coal miners, not too awfully far from here. Steve Earle on Facebook Live this Sunday at 3 p.m., I presume Eastern Daylight Time. It says Eastern Standard Time, but it's daylight time. At 3 p.m. Sunday, we'll be doing a special solo performance highlighting songs that he wrote for a Broadway show that's running called Coal Country. And you'll also be able to hear it on Sirius XM Outlaw Country Channel 60, premiering April 11th at 9 p.m. And the music that Steve Earle wrote for Coal Country is based upon interviews done with the survivors and those who were left behind when, by virtue of deliberate indifference and a depraved heart, those men were so badly incinerated that the rescue crews walked by them as they sat burnt to a crisp in the man trip that was headed into the mines. The rescue crews went by them looking for survivors, never realizing that they were sitting there because they had been burnt so thoroughly that they were no longer recognizable as human beings. Hard to believe that's 10 years ago. Thanks to David in South Carolina, Stan, for reminding me of that. South Carolina is, of course, one of only 11 states, along with Alabama and Texas and Arkansas and Missouri and Iowa and Nebraska and Wyoming and Utah and North and South Dakota who remain without a statewide stay-at-home order. In South Carolina, this quote: many people have asked WIS about the number of people who have recovered from the virus in the state.
but DHEC has not provided that information, saying they don't track cases after a person tests positive.
I'm not even going to try to sort that one out because it would probably involve me screaming. As to those 5,500 COVID-19 fast test kits, well, Lee in New York observes, for Trump, that means
everyone can have one. The U.S. has 10 billion tests. If you want a test, you'll get one. You get a test, and you get a test, and you get a test, and you get a test. Sorry, Oprah.
It's hard to tell because you can never quite gauge where the maggots are. But one gets a sense that maybe more people are figuring out that this thing was hopelessly bungled by the bungler in chief. Let's see here. Albert in Rhode Island says, I think that satirical cheer was associated with Grover Cleveland. Is that okay? The ma, ma, where's my pa? Could be. People stopped saying it after Cleveland married the kid's mother. Yeah, well, the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department will have to undertake that one. But I do know that Warren Gamaliel Harding was a philandering alcoholic. more wacky zaniness from South Carolina, Stan, the home of American, and I don't think either Todd nor David will take issue with me for saying this. The home of American stupid, you know, not just sedition. South Carolina, it's not just for sedition anymore. The governor of South Carolina has suspended short-term rentals and closed more non-essential businesses effective Monday. In short, the governor of South Carolina has closed the music stores but left the gun stores open. Well, of course. Where else are you going to go and get you an AR-15 on the double quick when the zombie apocalypse gets going real good?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Ron and Raleigh says, stop telling us what to rub, Bob. Today's obit, songwriter, singer, and aircraft mechanic Bill Withers passed at the age of 81. Ain't no sunshine when you're gone. West Virginia connection, Bill Withers. Lean on me. Yeah. And for the Gen Xers, the death of I know his last name is Schlesinger, Adam Schlesinger, perhaps. He being one of the two founding members of a band called Fountains of Wayne, who gave us the unforgettable anthem Stacy's Mom. He was 52 years old when the Trump pandemic leveled him. Wynton and Branford Marsalis lost their daddy, Ellis. It will eventually be nearly impossible to keep track. But anyway, back to Republicans accidentally telling the truth.
You know that there is a growing chorus of people who want to vote by mail. Now, in this state, apparently, people are going to be sent in the mail a piece of a parcel, a letter, maybe a card, from the West Virginia Secretary of State, asking them if they would like to have an absentee ballot. I will be answering yes. So will Agnes. So will Ferg. And they will then send you an absentee ballot. So that you don't have to go out and rub shoulders and smollock around and LARP amongst your fellow West Virginians on June the 9th. Because, well, we really don't need to be doing that. I was talking with Boss Man Wayne, and he said, there's no way I'm going to the polls. I'm not even, I won't know, and I won't go and early vote either. So, I'll be waiting to see when they get around to doing that. And, of course, for anybody who thinks they're registered to vote in West Virginia and doesn't get one of those cards, you'll know that you've probably been purged. Because we've got Republicans in our Board of Public Works offices now. That's what we call the primary executive officers of the state of West Virginia. Hey, Sparky, I'm connected and everything, but I'm only connected to you. Did you mean to connect me via the group? Yeah, I think so. So, again, here in a little bit, we will be firing up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. If you'd like to be part of it, run over to headon.live and click on the... click on the big banner, the box with the big banner at the top of the page, and you'll be part of the merriment. And I especially encourage new voices, because we're going to have to start talking about what our reality is like in our different places, so that we can do a better job of being apart together or alone together. But Republicans accidentally telling the truth. I've been trying to get to this, and, well, I keep going off on tangents and diversions, and these things just happen. This story comes out of Georgia via the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The Speaker of the Georgia House of Representatives is a guy named David Ralston Purina. No, there's no Purina there, just Ralston. David Ralston. And being Speaker of the Georgia House makes him an exalted high mucky-muck in Georgia Republican politics. And he is not at all pleased with all this here voting by mail shenanigans. Not because Georgia will get it wrong, or not because of voter fraud, you know, the non-existent voter fraud that has had the GOP in a dummied-up, faked-up, robed-up, frauded-up, ginned-up conniption for 20 years now, all without any evidence of any sort of massive voter fraud to even worry about. But the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported that Georgia Speaker
David Ralston said, "This will be extremely devastating to Republicans and conservatives in Georgia. Every registered voter is going to get one of these. This will certainly drive up turnout." And to give him credit where credit is due, Speaker Ralston understands that Republicans can't win if everybody gets to vote. That's why it is that God's white people's party, the Republican Party, that's why they work so hard to keep the vote down. That's why every election they're sending out postcards telling people the wrong date to go and vote, or sending out postcards saying, "Now, if you got a parking ticket, we're going to be waiting for you with the law there and arrest you if you come and vote. You hear now? Yeah, huh?" That's why they do that shit. That's why they run the robocalls. That's why they do all the evil shit that they do, because they don't have a prayer if everybody gets to vote who is legally entitled to do so. "Well, this will be extremely devastating to Republicans and conservatives in Georgia. Every registered voter is going to get one of these. This will certainly drive up turnout." And when I say drive up turnout, I mean people's going to vote what ought not be voting. You know, them brown people and them black people and them moose limbs. God almighty, it won't hardly be Georgia no more if we got this here mail-in voting. But then again, being a good maggot, he was merely echoing the words of the maggot-in-chief. Having a little chit-chat with the two dweebs and the attack blonde on Fox and Fiends, Nitwit Nero said,
"They're trying to make levels of voting that if you ever agreed to it, you'd never have a Republican elected in this country again."
Because Republicans cannot be elected in high turnout races. It just does not happen. Every now and then they'll screw up and tell the truth. But there's an even bigger example of Republican truth-telling that I must confess took me a little bit by surprise. And thank you very kindly, Neil, for jumping in and taking us down to 480. Thank you so much, Neil. Everything we can do to keep from being in some sort of godforsaken hole for Lassie to have to go and get the sheriff over come Monday is a tremendous help. Thank you. It was, this little other little bit of truth-telling comes from a neo-maxi-zoom dweeby by the name of Charlie Kirk. Now, Charlie Kirk founded and then made himself president of TPUSA, you know, Turning Point USA. I think TP has a greater significance now in the age of the Trump pandemic. But Charlie Kirk is worried. And he had a chat with Michael Knowles of the Daily Wire, and they set about talking about the recently passed $2 trillion-plus relief package. And all of a sudden, young Charlie Kirk's blood ran cold, because he realized something that some Democrats don't even realize.
And they're already talking about another stimulus. And look, here's the long and short of it, is that middle America, real small business relief, the best stimulus they could have, Michael, is the green light to go back to work. That's what they want. And so I understand it's not that simple. And I understand there's, you know, all sorts of competing data and all that sort of stuff. However, I am of the opinion, like, hey.
Yeah, there's all kinds of competing data. like the number of people who are getting infected in the United States every day and the number of people who are dying in the United States every day and the profound transmittability, the profound contagion that this disease is transmitted by, you know, competing data. But old Charlie Kirk, he's a small government Republican. You know, a government small enough to, what's the old Republican saying? Drown in a bathtub.
Posting a $4 trillion deficit, that should be something that should be deliberated so thoughtfully. And
yeah, there's only one problem, Chuck. Back when Dim Leader and Count Dicula were running up a massive deficit, somebody asked them about it. And this was before some decent human being's heart was placed into Count Dicula's chest. This goes back to the time when he probably didn't even have a pulse and was sleeping in a box with a little bit of the soil from the old country in it. And he said,
well, deficits don't matter.
And they don't. Deficits don't matter if Republicans are giving away money, you know, to the real America, the billionaire class, the coupon clipping class, the stock ticker tape reading class, the hedge fund class, the CEO class. You know, what Dim Leader once referred to as an American ownership society. Right.
And critiqued so carefully. Not jammed through and passed in what I consider with some of the most egregious waste that I've seen in a bill in the history of the U.S.
And you know, what's so scary here for conservatives is the precedent. Because, listen, I'm fairly amenable to...
Yeah, I'm scared of the president, too. Oh, wait, he didn't say president. He meant precedent. Okay.
The bill, I can get behind a lot of aspects of it. But the sticking point
you're,
for me...
You're more amenable than me, but...
I know, I'm probably more amenable to it than you are. But the sticking point for me is we are now setting the precedent of the government on a massive scale sending direct checks to people because of a time of crisis. Well, look, maybe this is a real... Maybe this is a serious crisis, at least an economic one. But what about the next time?
Yeah, but Michael... I mean, Medicare for All costs $32 trillion, but not $32 trillion a year.
Pay it. This is the part where he's telling, there's a little truth telling goes on, and it's worth noting.
For All costs $32 trillion, but not $32 trillion a year.
That's right.
That number that Bernie said was over 10 years. So now we've set a precedent that $3 trillion a year for Medicare for All is not that much.
I feel like I probably need to go out and smash my big toe with a brick or something just to make sure that my neurological system's running in proper fashion. But son of a gun, I about halfway agree with that little neo-maxi-zoom dweeby there, Charlie Kirk. Because, see, back when Elizabeth Warren was talking about it and Bernie was talking about it, I'd turn on my filthy morning habit every morning, and there would be Joe and Mika hollering, dude, Jesus, Dill Harris, $32 million. Oh, my God. How are we ever going to pay for that? We can't pay for that. 32 trillion bajillion. Oh, my God. Million, googly boogillion dollars. How America can't afford it. All the while in the previous year, we had somehow managed to figure out a way to give a trillion dollars to the ownership class. And all those millionaire geniuses of the for-profit media somehow managed to miss the essential fact that whatever the number you want to talk about is, American working people and businesses wind up saving money with a Medicare for All system because of the amount of money that we're just setting fire to and tossing into the air to watch the ashes land somewhere else in our profit-driven healthcare system. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
In fact, it's perfectly affordable. But UBI, why not do it every quarter?
Why not
every month? And now the smart Alex that always come in my, you know, podcast feed are going to say, well, Charlie, that's a slippery slope argument. Okay.
Yeah, we don't care about what the rest of the neo-maxi Zoom dweeby has to say. The fact of the matter is, he just made a that little Republican twerp just made a better Medicare for all argument than probably at least 50% of Democrats out there. Kind of breathtaking when Republicans fuck up and tell the truth, isn't it? Yeah. Bye, Charlie. And I guess the 5:30 shit show is underway because I'm getting news alerts that the CDC, bowing to the wishes of Corona Caligula, has declared that, yeah, people should wear masks. You know, even if they don't know how to. Even if they put themselves at greater risk wearing a mask than if they hadn't. And this is, of course, going to embolden people. Hey, I got a mask. You got a mask? Shit, yeah. Let's go out. As long as we got a mask on, we can go anywhere and do anything we want to. Because Donald Trump done said, it's cool to wear a mask. The funny part is that although COVID Claudius said folks should wear cloth masks, he said he himself will not wear one. Because it wouldn't, I guess, well, it would be bad for his spray tan. He's already got those round, pale, pallid circles around his eyes where they can't spray him. And he'd wind up with the face mask equivalent of tan lines on his face if he wore it. Right. So he can't. And besides, everybody's getting tested for COVID if they want to get anywhere near him. I wonder, this is sort of a two roads diverged in a yellow wood kind of thing. I wonder if Barron's been tested. Then again, I wonder if Barron needs to be tested, because I wonder if Barron is anywhere within the social distance parameters of his alleged father. The things you think about. I don't think Larry Kudlow needs to be tested, because I don't think the coronavirus can live in an environment where the blood alcohol content is as high as Larry Kudlow's is. So it's just a theory. But here we are at the top of the hour. Let's pop over to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves and check in for Friday on the front porch. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Sparky. How's it going, man?
Oh, I'm just sitting here waiting for a phone call, like I tried to tell you. But other than that,
yeah, I know that you've got a delivery coming. I saw you say something about a new toy.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't tell you what it is now. Maybe I'll show you a picture of it.
Okay.
Gets here.
Okay, sounds good. Keep us in suspense.
They told me they were going to deliver it after 2, so I'm waiting. But anyway, I went out and about yesterday, and I stopped and bought this toy, and then I went to the grocery store. Boy, changes at the grocery store. You can't use your own bags anymore, and they got the plexiglass shields up at the check stands. And somebody is making money making stickers to stick on the floor. They'll tell you to stay back 6 feet, but do this, do that. And you go to the deli, they got a big blue tape line 6 feet out from the counter, keep you back.
Well, that's because you live in a competent state, Sparky.
Yeah, I guess there's laws. We'd ordered a new bed for Judy, and a couple of weeks ago, the guy told me, "Well, we don't know when we're going to get it because the factory supposedly shut down." Well, the guy calls me this morning, got the bed, but we don't can't deliver it. And I said, "I need it delivered."
Ah, jeez.
So COVID, coronavirus is fucking with me. I just try not to go out, but only once a week.
Hey, Darlene.
Hey, Bob.
I just saw your coronavirus live update come in via email about the wearing simple cloth masks.
Over $265 worth of groceries today, and still no TP or HTP. The shelves were wiped clean. There wasn't even a speck of dust on them. I have one package of 9 super rolls left for toilet paper and 1.5 rolls left of hand towel paper. And who would have ever thought that I would be keeping count? But I am, because I'm starting to get a little nervous. And I did not hoard stuff, mind you. So, yeah, that's...
Do you subscribe... Well, I mean, I don't even know if it still exists. Do you subscribe to the Hartford Daily Courant?
No, I do not. Because I think it is more of a conservative rag. But do tell. What do you know that I don't?
Well, it's an expensive way of getting toilet paper. But especially since it's a conservative... since it's a conservative birdcage liner. There's the solution to your problem, Darlene.
Perfect. Yeah, but I'd rather use sandpaper. Don't flush it down the toilet.
Yeah.
No. You're right, Spark. Oh yeah, no, I will definitely get a clog for sure. I can guarantee you. I will get a clog for sure. Yes.
I got an update. I'm on my 14th day of not using toilet paper.
Oh, boy.
We should call that the No-Toilet Paper Challenge, Bob, or Sparky.
What?
You should call it the No-Toilet Paper Challenge.
Oh, no, well, Sparky's already won that.
It's easy for guys to do, but it's hard for women.
I know that. Yeah, we can have a contest, like the most days in a row. Who can do the most days in a row?
I'm already 14 days ahead of you, Rick.
Exactly. I mean, there's no catching up. It's like Bernie in the primaries. He can't catch up.
No, he can't. No, and we can't catch up to the coronavirus either. Unfortunately, it's kicking our ass.
Sadly, yes, and I think that's part of the problem here in Connecticut. According to my sister, who actually I use the Instacart shopper, and I was freaking out yesterday because yesterday I could not get a delivery. So as soon as I woke up this morning, I checked my application, the Instacart app, and there was a delivery time frame available, a 5-hour window for the delivery. But my sister is actually going to the grocery stores, and she says that based on her best estimates, 70% of the cars parked in the grocery store parking lot are from New York. So we're not only trying to compete with Connecticut residents hoarding, but New York residents hoarding. And I'm all for trying to be accommodating and, you know, living that whole idea that we're all in this together. But the New Yorkers, when they come into Connecticut, they really need to they need to work with us, because there's just not enough paper to go around. And it's frightening. And we're also hearing, again, it's not changed. You know, I mentioned this, I think, in an email to Bob yesterday, that I'm seeing a lot of New York license plates in the area, but they're not self-quarantining. They're not doing the quarantine for 2 weeks. So they need to start doing this. We need to work together in this. If you want to come to Connecticut thinking you're fleeing to Connecticut for a respite or for salvation or whatever it is, then you need to play by our rules, because Governor Lamont has been pretty clear that they need to quarantine for 2 weeks at least. So just saying.
Well, see, that's that, tomorrow.
Like they don't have any checkpoints on the border?
Not that I'm aware of, Sparky. No, I don't think so.
I don't think you can do that legally. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, they got... I saw a video of a checkpoint from going from Georgia into Florida on I-95, and the traffic jam was tens of miles long.
Oh.
Well, Lamont may wind up doing that if he hasn't already. I haven't seen anything about that. But he's pretty much, you know, communicating with us on a daily basis. And the situation is so fluid that could happen. And it may need to happen because there are people like, you know, people in the area that are a lot less accommodating than me. So in terms of New Yorkers coming over. Because they're really messing up the infrastructure, you know, they're just messing things up. And we basically, I can't get toilet paper and hand towel paper.
Hey, Darlene. You
know? Yeah.
Darlene.
Steve?
I must be very lucky because I don't have any problem getting all of this stuff.
Wow. That's awesome. Good for
so
you.
I've tried to say this. If people need shit, send me find a way to get in contact with me, if necessary, we can ship you something.
Thanks, that goes you. For I me appreciate too. That.
Yeah,
I
George,
appreciate that.
Whatever,
thank you.
For whatever reason, Karen even found hand sanitizer tonight, believe it or not.
Damn.
Wow. I have tons of hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Actually, I have about 5 or 6 bottles of alcohol. I can get alcohol, bleach, everything. And seriously, if you people need it.
The only thing Steve, is the Clorox wipes. You know, there's wipes and things. I can't find those. But other than that, I get it's about anything you want.
Wow.
I did what you talked about last week, Steve. I checked underneath my bathroom cupboards.
Yep.
I had Lysol wipes and Clorox wipes in one bathroom.
You find all kind of treasures under there. We found 2 bottles of isopropyl alcohol.
And then I come out to the rock shop and I found all the box of masks my dad had.
Just one more thing. Also, in a little dummy here, they had boxes of gloves, rubber gloves. So,
yes, I couldn't get that either. I just wanted to get I was looking for 30 count. I have some left, but I'm not hoarding, but I'm just trying to get one extra package of what I currently am using. And I couldn't get those latex gloves. I even went to a 10 count as opposed to a 30 count package. They still didn't have that. So, Steve, from New York and from Georgistan, what's going on? Why is Connecticut running into problems with its distribution York isn't?
That's not
what
the
is
issue.
It then?
Please. Where are you trying to buy them?
I'm buying them at Big Y.
All the stuff that I have found, it has been at dollar stores, smaller regional grocery stores, what we call bodegas and carryouts.
Like, what about Aldi's?
There's only one Aldi that I know of in New York, and it's not even anywhere close to me. I don't have any idea. But okay, there's a dollar store that in the beginning of this, I walked in there and they had everything.
Well, see, that's my problem. My problem is I can't walk into, because of my mobility problems.
That's why you call me.
I have to utilize the shopper services, which I'm tipping them very well because they're putting their lives at risk to help me, and they're so good. They're like It's our pleasure. We're here to help. In Instacart, I was afraid because they were going to go on strike, which I totally don't blame them, because Jeff Bezos shouldn't be a fucking billionaire when he has all these people working for them that are basically living on subsistence. But, that's basically my situation. It's not easy for me to walk into a, dollar store. I have,
Can you call me?
Okay.
You call me, Steve, and if we can arrange a shipment, we arrange a shipment. I mean,
thank Karen you, works friend. For the post office. I can overnight it to you if it's something have dire straits.
Kyle in Kentucky Stan just emailed and said, "Shit, Karen struck gold. We can't even get enough sanitizer for every check lane for us cashiers here at work."
She found it in a convenience store of all places. It was a little
that's
pricey.
What I told you.
Yeah, it was a little that's pricey, but I mean, what the hell?
You go places that most people don't think of. People think, oh, that's Costco's got a million gallons of it, therefore they'll have it. No.
Costco. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Costco.
But you know what? This is
Costco is first thing in the morning, and I was able to get a thing of toilet paper without having to wait all night like some people did. I got there like half an hour before they opened.
Just from the department,
they're sold up by 10 though.
From the, you know that old story about how NASA spent $1 billion making a ballpoint pen that would write in a zero gravity condition, and the Soviets just sent pencils.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of like that. I just got a note from Jude in the Great Northwest, and Jude is a healthcare professional herself. And she says, keep bars of soap in everybody's safety kit. Soap and water, along with the friction of hand washing, and you're good.
Yeah, because it breaks the surface tension of what's on your hands. And I learned that back. That's like, eighth grade science. It breaks the surface tension, so water can get in and wash it away.
Right,
yeah, and water is the best thing that
it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be in a pump bottle, and it doesn't have to be liquid. A plain old fashioned bar of Ivory soap will work just fine.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and this is why I love our community, because you know what? It's a microcosm that people are trying to help people. So like Steve is saying, I'll ship you something. I have nephew, my sister-in-law and my brother. People are like, neighbors. They're all saying, look, if you need anything, we're shopping, we'll get it for you. And I'm the type of person where I like to be independent. But it's like, and that's why I love you all, and thank you so much. That's
in this day and age, swallow your pride.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, even though we're separate and apart, this is one of those we're all in it together kind of moments.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to one of my favorite movie lines from one of my favorite movies, John Sayles' Mate One, and you've heard it from me a million times before. Joe Keenihan used to say, all we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it. Take that to heart.
And
Hey, Bob.
I think that's...
Okay, wait a minute. Time out.
Okay.
Somebody's echoing.
No, go ahead, Steve.
Somebody's echoing.
I don't think it's me.
Oh, hey, I have to stop off for a bit. I got to make a phone call. I will be back, though.
All right. Okay, sounds good, Steve.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Steve. See, that's one of the things, because I think that's been one of the blessings of having my muscular dystrophy, is that it's forced me to ask for help, because I've been, like Steve was saying, swallow your pride. For me, it's more like I don't want to be a bother to people, because it's obvious that I have
bother.
A disability.
Karen's
I know,
at the post
but
office
I, that's
every
how,
day. I mean, it's not a bother.
I know. So. I basically, that's how I was raised. It's like you're a bother, that kind of thing. It's sort of like
ingrained.
This is a good. It's ingrained, and it's a good lesson, and it just shows how people care, and how I can't tell you how many people I've said, when they call me or I call them, how much I ended the conversation with, I love you, instead of goodbye. It's like, I love you, because this is, we don't know where we're going to end up if we're going to survive this,
Yeah, absolutely.
So, It makes you appreciate. I even appreciate my two little dogs that seem like they are clueless. They're clueless about what's going on, but they sense the anxiety and the tension that I'm feeling. They're intuitive. So they know something is up, but they don't know what it is, but they know something's up. So, you know.
Hey, Darlene, you said those are clueless dogs. You name them Donnie and Eric?
I'm sorry, say that again?
The dogs are clueless. Did you call them Donnie and Eric?
What a lousy thing to do to two nice little dogs.
That's so mean.
Yeah,
I thought Cletus
was rough for a female.
No. They're Alfie and Mia. Those are their foster names. And they are far better entities than those two things could ever be.
So they're not clueless.
So they're good kids, not like, you know, the other two. But yeah.
Air lockdown order started at 6 p.m. But guess what's exempt, Bob? Or anybody? Have a guess.
Churches,
yes.
Gun stores.
Liquor stores, churches. But you got to maintain a 6-foot social distance if you go to a church. Yeah, who's going to enforce that? Yeah. And I was checking online. Most of the churches are having where they drive into the parking lot and they're going to have church in their car. But who knows how cramped they're going to be in together. And you know these hee-haws are going to wind their windows down. What's the point?
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, those are the responsible ones. See, I'm not worried about the responsible churches. Just because I don't buy into a bunch of religious hokum doesn't mean that I'm fundamentally opposed to their existence. The ones I have a problem with are the ones who are deliberately trying to make people sick. Rodney Howard Brown, that turd named Spell in Louisiana. I got another jackanapes here, another story today of an asshole who's going to try to hurt the country. I mean, it just doesn't.
It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling.
Bob, that would be the fundamentalist sect of the Branch Covidians.
Chris, well, what's up, man?
Yeah, Chris, that is the Branch Covidians.
Hi, everyone.
Did you say Branch Covidians?
Yes, Branch Covidians.
Yes.
I thought so.
Put
the shelves clean. That's a cowbell material. Wipe the shelves clean. Of toilet paper. You missed that one.
I was just curious as to where, I don't know if John Brittavo is going to chime in, but where do things stand in Texas? Have they started clamping down?
I was hoping we would hear from John on that, too.
From what I could tell, about the same as Georgia. They got a lockdown, but the churches are still wide open, hallelujah.
Oh, God, Steve.
Well, no, they don't. No. I don't think Texas has a statewide.
They don't? Okay. No. I'm sorry. That's what I thought I heard somebody say. Much misinformation.
I've been following the COVID Act Now website every day, trying to keep track of who's getting it right and who's getting it wrong. And let's see. Let's check Texas.
Who sponsors COVID Act Now website?
It's covidactnow.org. It's a decision. Okay. It's a decision-making website gives you. You can click on individual states, for instance, Texas, which has voluntary social distancing. That's it. And you get data. They are projected to have hospital overload on May the 29th, and then they give you predicted outcomes after 3 months, based on what tactic they take. And so with 3 months of social distancing, it is predicted that Texas will have 49% of its population infected. Its hospitals will be overloaded on Friday, May 29th, and 84,000 people will be estimated to die.
What is this website, Bob? I want to bookmark this.
80,000 dead people. A good start.
Stop that. COVIDActNow.org.
Oh, okay. Don't put the 19 in
there. Rafael Eduardo Cruz wanted to know if he can't do the face palm, can he still pick his boogers, need him?
Got it. It's a secure site, too.
Oh, God. Thanks, Joe.
And, yeah, well, if he can, he's going to open a new restaurant called Booger King.
No, he's in Texas. It'll be In-N-Out Booger.
Man, I was just going to start preparing my beef enchiladas. Oh, well, so much for that.
Yeah, that was not on me. Well, it kind of is. I followed up with the even funnier, but yeah. Because, see, like a state like Texas thinks it's still safe because it hasn't it's still riding the flat part of the roller coaster, you know, the one where you look over and go, well, I was scared to get on this, but this ain't so bad. I mean, hell, we ain't going that fast, and we ain't even started climbing a hill yet. And the knowledgeable people look and go, remember that corn dog you ate a little bit ago? You're going to see it again on the downhill side of this hill.
COVIDact.org. I can't.
That's interesting.
COVID.
I can't.
COVIDActNow.org.
Oh, okay.
Hold on, darling. I'll post it in the chat here.
Thank you, because I'm really having trouble getting this up here. COVIDActNow.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I can give a little bit of a report from being out and about in Central Oregon today.
Go for it, Roger.
Yeah, I had
Please
to.
Please do, Roger.
I had to do a delivery, pickup and delivery of fertilizer for the kids' farm. Took two trips from Eugene down to Cottage Grove. So I saw the big sign up there that says, save lives, stay home. And also stopped by the Bi-Mart store, which is a mini-type Costco kind of thing. You're supposed to be a member. They had toilet paper, limit two. So I bought 1, 8, 9-pack, something like that. But the thing that really blew me away is on my last trip back, I'm cruising along I-5 coming north, and there's a young lady out there on I-5 hitchhiking. And that just, to me, kind of blew me away.
It's going to be a long walk.
Who the hell's going to pick her up? And besides that, why is she, I mean, hitchhiking for a young lady, I don't know. In a rearview mirror, she probably looks somewhere around 25, 30, but I'm having a real hard time telling ages these days because everybody looks young to me. But anyhow, it's just, you know, why is she exposing herself to some random stranger in an enclosed space? And why would somebody pick up a random stranger and get into an enclosed space? It just kind of blew me away.
Never underestimate the cluelessness of America.
Yeah, the other thing is there were a lot more trucks on the road than there were cars. So people are sort of staying home. And then I saw a giant cement mixer, and there was a cop parked alongside the road. And he had all his wheels down and the little trailer thing down that takes and spreads the weight out. So he was obviously loaded with a shipment of cement going somewhere. And the cop that was parked on the side of the road followed him off the exit. So I don't know whether the cops are going to jump on him for working on a theoretically shut down day or not. And the other one is right there on I-5. There's a adult store, which I'm not sure what they sell in adult stores, but I think I can figure
it
out.
They sell adults.
Yeah. But anyhow, it was, we're open, call in, pick up in store. So I guess an adult shop is an essential business, because all the bars are shut down, all the restaurants are shut down except for carryout. So only essential businesses are supposed to be open. So I'm just wondering what branch of the Oregon government decided that the adult shop was an essential business.
Well, I'll take a run at that, because I kind of touched on this yesterday evening, Roger.
Go for it.
I was talking about the fact that, you know, as scary as HIV was, we eventually learned that there were means of avoiding contracting it. This, however, you can triple wrap or quadruple wrap or use the whole damn box of Trojan Ultra Sensitive, what the ever, and you're still going to be sitting there grunting and snorting and blowing particles all over your partner. And so maybe a sex toy store is an essential business because it helps people to achieve a certain amount of satisfaction without having to deal with a second or, God knows, third party.
Well, that makes sense.
Interesting theory, Bob.
Well, you know, I hate the things that I sit around and think about sometimes, but damn it, that's why I'm here.
Hey, Roger, quick question about Bi-Mart. Do you know, are they a cooperative?
No, because there's no dividend number, but they do advertise employee-owned.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so Winco is a cooperative, right?
Winco, no, it is not a cooperative. It's also employee-owned. Winco, to the best of my knowledge, and I've never worked for them, is after you get hired at Winco, after a period of time, you start investing some of your paycheck back into the business. I don't think they're just granted shares of stock as part of the work. I think you need to spend a little bit of your own money, although they're not traded on the open market. It's strictly employees or ex-employees that own stock. I do not know Bi-Mart's number. My next door neighbors are down in Arizona, and they have a lady that comes and tries to make their house look lived in, you know, while they're gone down to Arizona. They're snowbirds. Anyhow, her mother's 94, and her mother has now kicked her out of the house. She's a clerk at Bi-Mart. So now she's actually living next door, and we talk through the ivy-covered cyclone fence. And I'll check with her about what the employee ownership crap of Bi-Mart is and try to get back and pass that on maybe next week.
That'd be great. That'd be great to know. Thanks, Roger.
But other than that, we're in pretty good shape. We're violating things a little bit since the son and daughter-in-law and the two kids live here, the grandchildren, and Patricia, my wife, moved up here to be with the grandkids. We're still getting together from their house and our house once, twice a week and sharing a meal. And I'm about the only one that goes out, and I wash my hands and all that good shit when I get back. And my daughter-in-law and the two kids haven't been out of the house except to get in the car and come over here and go back to their house. And the boy, he's the one that goes shopping and does all the sanitation stuff before he walks back into the house. So we kind of got together, and since the youngest boy is a meat cutter at Safeway, we're getting some exposure there, but we're still trying to be a family and maintain our family relationships, but not going out as absolute minimal as possible, being careful, but maintaining our face-to-face with family. And if we fuck up, we fuck up.
Well, you know, Steve mentioned, you know, the church is being exempted in Georgia. Let me introduce us all to a homicidal maniac by the name of Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I've got the audio right here. Get the hockey puck. You're going to need it.
I'm going to announce it, but we're going to hold an outdoor Easter blowout service, not online, a national gathering. You can come from all over, like Woodstock, and we're going to gather and lift up Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed that Dr. Rodney got arrested. I'm ashamed that when they wanted to arrest preachers for having church in an entire state, there was only one to come for.
He is, of course, a lying sack of shit, because Rodney Howard Brown was not arrested for having church. He was arrested for defying an order against public gatherings for public safety purposes, which is completely legal and completely constitutional. But, of course, the illegitimate white supremacist adjacent governor of Florida, Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, has now taken the teeth out of those charges, when the man should very simply have been sent to jail. And, you know, look at the number of lives that Rodney Howard Brown endangered with his actions. He should have been held without bond like any potential mass murderer. But, of course, he's a Christian, so he's special.
Hey, Bob, if they're going to lift up Jesus, isn't Jesus going to stand a good chance of getting COVID?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. But I found another freak who said Jesus died on the cross and he died of COVID so you wouldn't have to. Not joking. I mean, it's this stuff is sickening.
But to lift up Jesus, aren't they about 2,000 years too late?
Well, yes, that's true, too. Him being, you know, all dead and everything.
And already and then, lifted
and then,
up.
And then he did, and they nailed him right in, too. And then in Alabama, of course, there was a couple of weeks ago, a guy named Chris Bartlett, who is the pastor of the Boaz Church of God, and he put up a Facebook post, and then he deleted it, but the internet is forever. And he said, I say this not to stir up controversy. I'm certainly not trying to be insensitive or draw attention to myself. I'm not making a statement of criticism against my fellow pastors who do not agree with me. However, I may be exercising a little foolishness. But I am somewhat moved over the fact that all it takes to disassemble God's church is the threat of sickness by germ spreading. It seems the early church wouldn't have made it very far with this type of timidity. Our top priority is not primarily the safety and health of our members, but that they advance in faith and godliness, even on occasions at the expense of their safety and well-being. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, who gave up the safety and comfort of heaven to take upon our sin so that we might have eternal life with Him. In light of His example, we will not disassemble ourselves due to any threat to our physical bodies or status in the world. So with boldness of faith, if you have the coronavirus or feel threatened by such, you are most welcome at Boaz Church of God, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. We will gladly anoint the sick with oil and pray the prayer of faith over you. You're also welcome to fist bump instead of handshake, smile instead of hug, and have the impact team open the door for you. Perhaps we have the greatest opportunity in years to show forth the greatness of our God. God be glorified and His Son magnified, and your faith edified, despite any and all opposition. So with boldness of faith, if you have the coronavirus or feel threatened by such, you're most welcome at Boaz Church of God, Sunday morning at 10 a.m., where we will anoint the sick with oil and pray the prayer of faith over you. They are murderers.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Oh, and I guess it didn't work out so well. It was, 2 weeks ago today that the Reverend Juan Benitez got in a twin-engine turboprop aircraft and went flying over Rochester, New York. Reverend Juan Benitez is a Roman Catholic priest, and he carried aboard the aircraft with him little bottles of holy water. And he said that was his secret weapon for beating the coronavirus pandemic. The pilot of the plane, a guy named Anthony Danielle, who is one of Reverend Juan's parishioners, said he got permission from Rochester Air Traffic Control to fly low over the city, and he'd slow to anybody who does any piloting understands how fucking dangerous this was. He would slow to 80 knots, and then Reverend Benitez would open the window and reach out one of the bottles of holy water he bought for the occasion. And then he would say a prayer that was extended to everybody, praying for the whole world and the whole country, and dump out his holy water. And they'd done that for an hour. And Rochester's in Monroe County, New York. And at the time they were dumping the holy water, there were 30 cases of COVID. And then a week later, there were 257 known cases and 8 deaths. The part of this story that I love the best is that Reverend Juan Benitez has apparently never spat out of the window of a moving car. You know, do you know where all that holy water went? Right onto the airplane. None of it even hit the fucking ground.
You'd have been better off gargling with it. Dumbass.
Well, wait, Ben, I remember a previous program, Bob, where you're talking about the percentage of E. coli in the holy water.
Yeah, if any of it had hit the ground, he might have poisoned somebody. But, I mean, we've all done it, right? We've and spat out the window of a moving automobile. I can't be the only person who's ever done this.
Sure.
When I was a kid, I spat in the wind.
And you get home, and then you go, damn, and you go get a paper towel because you realize you've just spat all over the back of your car.
You slimed yourself. Yep.
Hey, and Bob, don't you think that the church had its hand in the spread of the bubonic plague way back when?
Well, they didn't. One of the people who did not die of the bubonic plague in the 14th century was the Pope at Avignon. And he stayed in a hot room and sat on his papal throne and wouldn't let anybody near him and made sure that everything was kept nice and clean. So he never got flea bitten. Mm. Now, he also tried to intervene when the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, good followers of the one true Holy Mother Church decided they figured out who was to blame for the Black Plague. And I'll give you 3 guesses who they thought was to blame for the Black Plague, and 2 don't count. Anybody?
Well, I'm guessing it's Richard Nixon's favorite people, right?
The Jews. That was the Jews, Henry, the Jews. And the good Christian followers of Holy Mother Church went about starting pogroms and murdering any Jews they could lay their hands on, and he said, now quit that. But there's no doubt that stupidity and lack of hygiene contributed to the spread of that disease. But that was generally across the world and could not be laid solely at the doorstep of Holy Mother Church. Kyle, on the other hand, hearing about the Boaz Church of God, said, excuse me while I go bang my head against a wall for an hour. I know. and adds, for fuck's sake, how fucking stupid are these damn Christians? And can they keep their stupidity to themselves and not infect us with us, please? And the problem is, no, they won't. They are motivated to inflict it upon us, because when you're talking about evangelical Christianity, you're talking about a version of arguably heretical Christianity that has this complicated relationship with some magic whereby if they can just make a certain few things happen, they can Jesus will be magically compelled to appear and come down out of the clouds in his holy rolls, and let the evangelicals start to slaughtering some Jews big time. Put them to the sword, said Jesus.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, It's Darlene.
Yeah.
If I'm a agnostic or an atheist, and I have holy water dumped on me from above, from a plane, could I, under the Constitution, claim that as a battery?
I don't know that I don't know that it's necessarily a constitutional issue. If Billable Rick's here, he could be handy on this.
Because the right to, you know, it's the First Amendment, right? Separation of church and state, but also they talk about the freedom from religion. So what if I'm an unwitting, I'm just walking along and then, you know, I look up and a plane dumps this water on me and I don't, and then I read about it in the newspapers the next day and like, oh, this stuff smelled like holy water. I'm not religious. Why am I being assaulted in this?
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm having my person.
Yeah, but the problem, Darlene, is you're still going to have to overcome the laws of physics, because you probably would have had to have been. It's going to evaporate off the back of the airplane before it ever falls off the back of the airplane. God, these
right. So it would be like COVID-19, where basically you don't know if the molecule that's hitting you is a COVID-19 molecule or some like little molecule of holy water.
Well, except to the extent that the holy water won't do anything to you, but the COVID-19 virus will.
Yeah, absolutely. But still, it's like that should be part and parcel of the. I'd like to approve that for this plane to dump this holy water would seem to me to be a violation of my constitutional rights.
Well, it probably is, but there's a whole lot of American jurisprudence that is wrapped up in the idea of no harm, no foul.
Okay. The second question I had was because this program is always ahead of the curve. I was wondering what you think, how long you think, and I would love to poll the other members on the front porch. How long?
By the way, that was a watered down answer, Bob.
Thank you, Joey. Wait.
Sorry, Joe.
That's a really, really low grade jingle. Okay, Joe.
Well, that's a good one. I like that one, Joey. That's a high grade for me. But how, you know, maybe
I'm
you talked
Russian.
About this.
I'm the Russian judge, Darlene.
The Russian.
9.9, 9.9, 9.9, and from the Russian judge, 1.2.
I have a real problem with people dumping shit on us, thinking that we're all on board with it. But anyway, and by no means am I a chemtrail believer. I'm not one of those. But I, based on the story, I find that troubling. But what how many months do you think we're going to be dealing with this? Like my sense is there might be somewhat of a reprieve in the late summer, but there's going to be a resurgence of this virus come autumn. How long do you think it's going to be? How many months do you think we're going to be dealing with this?
Well, until they get a vaccine.
Well, that's part of it, Steve. But the other part is that all the different states are on different trajectories. Washington and New York are on different time scales than, say, West Virginia is. And so, like, if you go to COVID Act now, you'll see those dates in the future running anywhere from early to mid-June out into July. And so, you know, the tail end states are into July. and none of the governors want to admit it. The most stringent shelter-in-place order in the country today is Virginia. And Governor Northam, who, remember, is an actual physician, said, fuck it, June.
I wonder if it's going to be 2021 by the time we're really clear from this.
Well, that's what I was getting to. So it'll peter out a little bit, and we will probably do what other nations have done and said, thank goodness that's over, and everybody starts going out and rubbing on each other, and then bang, the thing just spikes. And so that's an element of it. The other element of it is when it starts getting cold, long about, depending on where you are in this country, October, November, it's coming back. And it'll come back with a vengeance. And that is the window that science has to try to get a vaccine or some sort of antiviral treatment for if you've got it. David in South Carolina, Stan, just said it's going to come in waves and it's going to be 36 months.
Wow.
And I wouldn't bet against him.
Oh, my God.
And this country will be crazier than a sprayed roach by then.
Well, Bob, can I interject something? I think Orange is trying to strangle the post office so we won't be able to vote by mail, because the trajectory they're on, they're going to be start shuttering in June.
Yeah, yeah, that they are. That's they are.
The thing
is, there is hope that in this next stimulus bill, which is being crafted now, that there will be help for the post office. There are two things that are desperate right now. There has to be help for the post office, and there has to be help for smaller city governments, because smaller city governments took it in the shorts on this last one. There was lots of money for great big cities, and there was very little for, you know, smaller size cities. And by smaller size cities, you know, we're talking about Minneapolis, St. Louis, Dayton, Memphis, you know, places like that. And then here in West Virginia, we're just sucking hind teeth.
I'm not overly hopeful, because they had stimulus money for the post office in the last one, and Orange nixed it. He said, nope.
Can't the House or Senate or something
2/3 override?
Remove the 75 years of health insurance banked with the government crap that they're suffering under. The post office right now, from everything I've read, is selling enough stamps, is doing all that to take care of their day-to-day operating expenses.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. With everybody working at home, Karen says she's busier than ever because all the mailing she's gotten to pick up. You know, everybody's mailing from their house.
Yeah, I agree. I have been someone who has worked from home for the past 25 years.
Yep.
Even though the transition, most people are transitioning in ways that they've never done before, I'm actually more scattered and more busy than before, because there's so many things that we're trying to field in terms of trying to go to online for meetings. For me, grant funders are shifting their deadlines there, and you have to also incorporate into the grants what our responses are to COVID-19, even though the funders are not asking that yet. It's sort of understood. And because I'm a town official, all of our meetings are going to online, and I'm having a lot of problems trying to work that system with people that are elderly that don't typically I don't know what that is.
Somebody's got a keyboard.
Somebody clacking
a keyboard.
Oh, okay.
Man, that must be billable.
No, it's not me.
How's
everybody doing?
Apologies.
We've got a new participant.
A newbie, Bernadette.
Bernadette has joined us this evening. Good evening, Bernadette.
Yes, I saw that.
Hey, guys, I have always been a little intimidated to call over here because this is a don't get your heads blown off. Very intelligent crew you got going here.
Well, thank you.
I'm from a blue dot in Texas.
A friend of John.
One of John's operators over on YouTube. So, and
I know who you are. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, quite the shit show we got going on here. I heard about the post office. I'm a little nervous about that. I still pick up mail. I was there today sending out some packages because that's how I do my business. And now I'm have to figure out how to do it some other kind of way. Okay. It's to me, it seems like it's an era of the human race learning how to adapt. We got to change, y'all. We got to change our whole way of life, pretty much.
Oh, I think you're right. And the question is, will we change for the better or for the worse? You know, because everything, Bernadette, is going to change. Art is going to change. Music's going to change. Broadcasting is going to change. You know, you've got all these experts who aren't on sets anymore. And why would they want to go back to that? But go ahead.
Yeah, right.
The number of them are getting ill too.
One of the reasons why I called in was because I was looking for a link to Patreon because I wanted to become a Patreon member and help you out on a monthly basis. I ain't got a whole lot, but, you know, whatever I got, you got.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you. It's over at the main page, headon.live.
Okay, I'm of the sisterhood with Tracy and Miss Lady B. Oh, my God, is that one just off the hook.
Well, and you know, I had a note from Lady B, Bernadette, just a little bit ago. I said, I hate to sit there and think about the things that I think about, but that's why I'm here. Lady B said, and we thank you for your service, Bob. A bald eagle sheds a patriotic tear for you. all that because I figured out why sex toy stores were essential businesses.
Well, I could have told you that one.
Sex toy stores are essential businesses now?
Apparently they are in Oregon.
haven't they always been essential, actually? They help keep marriages together.
Absolutely.
Well, or, not. Part. Or not. Well, I got some good news today or a couple of days ago. So even though, hi, y'all. Happy Friday.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
As I don't know about the rest of the states, but because in California, and I know it's part of the stimulus bill. Oh, this goddamn dog! Lord,
Kimba, down, heel.
Shit, I'm not even gonna say run with her ass. Anywho, so because my job has just basically disappeared because of the COVID-19, and even though I am an independent contractor, I am eligible for unemployment because of it's a disaster. So, yep. So I've applied, and also, what else? Oh yes, the school district that I drive for, they sent Jan an email saying that we don't want to lose the drivers because the kids that we drive for are special needs, and they've formed bonds with the drivers, and the drivers and the parents like the drivers. So the district that I drive for, as they said, they wanted to figure out how to pay the drivers to keep us, so we don't quit driving cab. That's still being worked out. I don't know how that's going to work, but they offered to pay us through at least to the end of March. Because it looks like in California, we're not going back to school on campus until probably fall.
But we're lucky to be summer school. Hey, Tracy, do you drive any of the kids to medical appointments or anything like that in the past?
No, because school and back, that's it. No medical appointments.
Okay, because, I mean, I saw one of the senior citizen communities that is further north from me, they're still operating, and I saw one of the drivers driving by with a face mask on. So I'm thinking that, you know, they're still taking people to medical appointments and things like that.
Oh, yes.
So,
they are. My son's, that's what my son does, but there's not enough work for him to work. And the majority of the appointments that that his company has are wheelchair vans. So, in other words, the good news is that eventually I will be getting some sort of income. And also, anybody that's self-employed, at least like I said, in California, my cab company has been very proactive in helping people get sign up for unemployment. Right now they're working on unemployment, and then hopefully by next week they'll have the information to also apply for the SBA loans, because basically I am a small business. But if anybody that's in the state of California needs to information, because it's kind of tricky on how to apply for unemployment benefits, if anybody needs help, let Bob know and send your email address, and I will forward, because my company printed out screenshots step by step on how to apply for unemployment, like I said, in the state of California, and how to answer the questions. And I will send that information to Bob to send to you, or if you have questions, again, just contact Bob through me, and I'll walk you through it, because it's very tricky on how to do this. Because if you enter one wrong information, then what happens is they'll send it back, and I don't know even how long it takes to get your claim, you know, honored or what have you. So like I said, if anybody needs help, I'm more than willing. I'll do it. I can do a Zoom call. So I'm not calling people individually or what.
Watch Zoom though, because I've seen a bunch of other stories in the last couple of days that platform is being bombarded by spammers and hackers and scammers and fraud artists.
I heard I heard a thing on NPR in my driving around today, and there was an interview with somebody from the Zoom company, whoever they are, and the problem is people are not going into the admin type tools and setting the restrictions that are appropriate. It's sort of like you're having a meeting with the door open and anybody can walk in unless you close the door when all the people that you want at the meeting are in it. So there are some security things that people can do with the existing Zoom.
There's a problem with that, though, Roger, as somebody who is a town official and also a secretary for at least one of the boards, is that we have to keep it open. At least in Connecticut, we have to keep the platform open to the public so that they can come in and listen in on the meeting, because we're not meeting in person. Things have shifted so dramatically to online that our governor has basically said that it has to be open and recorded in full. Like, even if go ahead, Roger.
I have no problem with your public meeting being open and having a problem with that. What Tracy was talking about was trying to set up a meeting between her and a bunch of people trying to fill out unemployment forms. And in that context, I think Tracy could lock down the security settings and only have the people that she wanted to be talking to, rather than the meeting being open, according to what I heard from a Zoom representative on NPR earlier today.
Correct. There's an NPR article that was released this morning about the FBI warning that Zoom has been what they call Zoom bombing. So that's a new term.
Yeah, I caught that.
People great.
Hijacking video calls and just doing all kinds of nasty things.
Leah New York points out that they have an update for the app as well. Go forth and obtain it if you're using Zoom.
Yeah, I just updated mine. But again, like I said, if anybody, I'm pretty sure the same information, the same holds true in other states as well as filling out the application. But again, I will forward this, I will actually forward the step by step onto Bob. And cause like I said, it's like I said, there's a couple of questions that can get tricky. And about if you're employed, blah, 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 blah. And like I said, once you learn how to do it, so it's gotten to the point, it was so funny because Jan was on a Zoom call with her company and I've basically been doing it for her. I've been doing her work for her because she's not, it's not like I'm, you know, it's not like I'm a skilled really with computers, but I'm far ahead of her. So I was basically doing the work for her. And so she just kind of offhandedly mentioned it to her boss. You know, Tracy's bored. She doesn't have anything to do. She's more than willing to help. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have shit else to do. And I'll do it for free. And her boss is like, no, we'll pay you. So, you know, like I said, I don't know how much they're going to pay me. I don't care. And I don't know when. But, you know, my thing is I want to help as many people as I can. Because this is some pretty scary shit. And I'm just grateful that for once self-employed people are actually included in this.
You got that right, Tracy, because on the opposite side of the country, this is the first that I've seen where, you know, like you, I'm a self-employed, a contract worker, gig employer, gig workers. And we can claim unemployment for the first time, I think, ever.
Ever.
Are you claiming your state unemployment or is this the federal?
This is federal.
It's state. It's federal money going through the state. I believe.
Going through the state. You have to file your you got to file your tax return though probably best to file it by April 15th as opposed to the extended date so you can get your claims early. That right, Tracy? That's what I hear.
Well, that's not something that we've talked about. I just happened to file my taxes back in February, but you know what? That's a good question. But I thought that if you filed your taxes, that was only for the $1,200. I don't know if that has anything to do with the unemployment.
The unemployment. Okay, that's a good distinction.
And, you know, that stimulus stuff, it's worth pointing out, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but I guess it may come off that way.
You fucking ray of sunshine, you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. It occurs to me, I mean, do you realize there's a premium in this? I mean, okay, so it's $1,200 per person, $2,400 per couple. Now,
$500 for kids as well. Don't forget about the $500 for
that's
child.
Where I was going, children. Tracy. If you're a Mormon family with 18 fucking children,
Jesus. You're
going to make out like a bandit. If you're a Roman Catholic family that thinks that your wife's uterus is a clown car, you're going to clean up.
Christ. There is a caveat. Those who are 17 and above and considered dependents or a student will not. You won't be able to collect.
Right. But those
16 bangies running around.
Yeah, but
those get paid.
Old ones. Those evangelical quiverful families.
Like the Duggars.
Yeah, like the Duggars. Yeah, they'll make out like bandits.
I wonder how they're going to deal with that sect of Mormons down in south of Utah. The one guy
annually also.
Yeah, but one guy has one like six talking. Wives and 15 kids. I mean, how do the six wives with the one man?
Well, it just
Roger, it just so
happens that I'm pretty sure a decriminalization of polygamy bill cleared the Utah legislature. It may be law by now.
Oh. But then again, all the wives might file as head. If they do file income tax, and, they might just all file as head of household.
Right.
They still have to make
less than $70,000.
Oh, they do.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, they don't make near that.
Couple.
Most of those people are dirt poor. And a lot of them aren't rich like a lot of, you know, a lot of these, a lot of those crazy sect. Who was telling me about the fact that they used to live in Utah or work somewhere around in social services? And a lot of these families are first in line for the food banks and for, you know, AFDC and all that, because they have they don't have any money. They just, all they do is, you know, maybe birthing babies. I don't know about birthing no baby, but
Wait. Did we just have a Butterfly McQueen moment on Friday on the front porch?
Mr. Trump,
I don't know nothing about fighting no virus.
I'd like to throw in a little bit of trivia on Utah. Before Utah was a state, the women in Utah were allowed to vote. And they had an election on whether Utah should become a state. And on the ballot was a proposition that said, if we join the United States, women can't vote. Should we disallow women the vote and stop polygamy to become a state? And the vote, overwhelmingly by the women, was yes, become a state. Now, whether they were joining because they really wanted to be in the states, or whether they were willing to give up their right to vote to get rid of polygamy, I'm not sure. But that is an interesting bit of trivia, that women had the right to vote before Utah became a state.
And you know, women had the right to vote in a number of states before the federal constitutional amendment was enacted. So they were voting in state and local elections, but they were not allowed to vote in a national election. Let me interject for a moment here. I hate to, but I got to. We've entered the third hour of the program. We're down $480. That means for the month of April, we are down. We got $80 to go for Wednesday, all of yesterday, and all of today. And times as hard as they are, I despise even mentioning it. I do, but like I've said before, as long as I can keep the bills current, that means we've got a fighting chance for another month. So that's where we stand, $480. Now,
I got a challenge.
Do you?
Yes. So, because you just did what you did, we got the, I don't know nothing about birthing. I don't know nothing about fighting no virus. I don't know nothing about fighting no virus.
Challenge
for $25. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, that'd be beautiful. If somebody will match that, then we will be down to 4:30 and we'll be getting perilously close to wiping out Wednesday. So thank you, Tracy. Thank you so very much. Mr. Trump, I don't know nothing about fighting no virus challenge is on the table. And Ralph's just added another $10 to it. If somebody else will kick in 10. So thank you, Ralphs. So we're kind of off and running.
Well, Bob, until I find the link to Patreon, I'll kick
in. That Patreon link, by the way, Bernadette, if you go to headon.live and you click the contribute tab, Brother Deacon Ace has straightened me up on that. You got to click the contribute tab and the Patreon link is there. Otherwise, it's just a regular PayPal thing.
Right. Okay.
Hey, Tracy, Samuel Jackson told us all everything we need to know about fighting the virus. I hope everybody heard that. I think, Bob, played it early this week, right?
I don't think I did, but I know I saw it.
I haven't been.
You mean stay the fuck at home?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's tremendous.
I've curtailed. Well, actually, I haven't done shit this week. I've actually gained weight because once I went to the store and I finally found yeast. And so now I did flatbread. I'm going to start my sourdough starter for the first time.
Yeah, you're on a mission now.
I'm on a fucking mission. But that flatbread, y'all, oh my God, it was so good. And it only took an hour.
It's coming for food, you know. I mean, I typically don't do this, but I purchased a bag of barbecue potato chips, which I'm eating. And I don't do this, but I feel like I needed to munch on something like that, you know, is a chain sort of thing. Once you eat one, you can't not eat another.
Well, what kind of Darlene, and that, this is what you do, because I still have my chips and my Cheetos and stuff like that. This is what you do.
Okay.
Put them in a baggie. Do not eat for the bag. That's just take out what you're going to eat, put it in a baggie, close the bag, and just eat that. Do not anything that you have, cookies, chips, crackers, whatever you're going to eat. You know, just get whatever the serving is, because I weigh my food. I don't know if you have a food scale, but I weigh my food. I do weigh my cookies, or you can count when it says serving size.
You are far better than me, my friend.
Even aside from counting and all that, but just get a small snack, you know, the sandwich bags or a small bowl, and put whatever you're going to snack in that bowl. Do not leave the bag in the goddamn kitchen. And that's your snack.
Leave the bag in the goddamn kitchen and go your merry way. Go about your business.
Right.
I don't know about your business.
I have a little secret here. I haven't mentioned it, but tucked away in my my care package from Thrive Market that was provided by an anonymous listener, I got a couple of package of Newman O's. Because I can't get them here. I cannot get them here, and they don't have any damn palm oil in them.
Ooh, from Connecticut. Yeah, we got Newman's Own stuff here.
Oh, that's right, because that's where
he lived and passed away.
I buy as much Newman stuff as I can, but for some reason or another, nobody around here carries the Newman O's. And if you like an Oreo, but you don't like the idea of palm oil.
It's the Nabisco
oil,
cartel, Bob.
Yeah, it's the Nabisco. It's the Nabisco conspiracy to throw every orangutan on Earth out of its habitat, bastards. I'm kind of like what Tracy was saying. Only I've just flat out hidden them. And I'll sneak in and like grab two and like huddle in the corner and gnaw at them like a squirrel. You know, there's a name for what you just did, Tracy. Jack has dubbed that Tracy's Tips for Chips. Yeah. And we're making
at least the video. It sounded almost like you said tits for chips, but
tips,
you said
tips. Right? Not damn tips. It. Yeah. Don't make me any filthier than I already am, please. Thank you, Bernadette, and thank you, Jeremy in Vermont, and thank you, John. Tracy, your challenge has been met, so that takes us down to. Let me do the ciphering here.
Oh, he's doing the math.
Thirty, and then Bernadette and Jeremy met Ralph's 10. So that takes us down to 410, which happens to be my favorite gauge of shotgun for home defense purposes. You know, zombie apocalypse and all of that stuff. It won't go through a wall like a pistol round will. So we're down to 410. So thanks, everybody. We are 10 bucks away from having finished with Wednesday, and then we just got today and yesterday to handle. So, you know, maybe there's a little... community made miracle in the offing. It would be wonderful if that's the case. Thank you, everyone. Bernadette, I wanted to jump back.
Who's got that really nice Herskovina? I'm seeing a video of a Herskovina lawnmower over there on the Skype. That's pretty nice. I don't know who.
That's my new toy.
That's Sparky's man cave. So I assume it's Sparky. He just admitted.
Sparky, you're on video. You shouldn't be doing that. You yell at us when we do that. Come on, dude.
Okay, so now we're down below $400. We're at $385. Thank you, Gary. Thank you very kindly, Gary. And that means we've taken care of Wednesday, and we started on yesterday. What I was saying a minute ago, and by the way, I love Husqvarna. We've got our push mower and our weed eater are both Husqvarna, and they're fantastic.
Oh.
And the best thing you can do, especially with the two-cycle stuff, is use the canned fuel that has no ethanol in it, and your weed eater and other two-cycle stuff will last a lot longer if you don't use the gas from the gas station and mix your own. Word to the wise. Thank you, James, in Illinois. We are down to $375. Thank you, James. Thank you a ton. I wanted to go back to Bernadette for a minute, though. Are you in Texas, Bernadette?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, okay. You said you were. No, you said you were part of Blue Dot in Texas. I wasn't sure if you were actually in Texas.
I'm in Northern California. I'm in a little town called Garberville in Humboldt County.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you live in other words, you live
in Bernadette.
Hi,
Bernadette.
Hi.
That's Sparky.
I know Sparky.
Garberville, who crashed, 3 years ago, they had their economic crash?
Yeah, well, we've been crashing for a long time, dude.
Well, yeah, I mean, the timber industry shot the shit out of Garberville, too. But yeah, I'm thinking more of the cash economy that went to shit.
Yeah, they legalized it, and so, yeah. Yeah, they screwed
up. I used to live in McKinleyville.
Okay, I know where that is. I know where you are anyway. Right across the other side of the state from me.
That's Sparky.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty horizontal. You're over there on the eastern front. I'm holding down the western front.
Except you'd have to drive up to Fortuna and hang a right on 36 to get over to Sparky.
Oh, Jesus, we're in California highway directions now.
Well, you could just take 299 over or 36 or, yeah.
Well, but to get to Red Bluff, you got to go 36. Eights.
Yes, yes. The 9 and 32
16ths. All I need to do is get to the 5, and then I could go wherever the hell I want to.
And if you keep coming far enough north, you'll pass right by my house.
That's right.
Hey, Tracy, Albert with a recommendation says to check out King Arthur Flour's website. They've got bread mixes, baking pans, and they've got a sourdough starter if you don't want to try to make your own.
Oh, really? Because yes. I will have to check that out because let me tell you, it took me how long did it take me to find? Oh, I actually got lucky. It took me when I decided that I wanted to try doing yeast breads. I decided this on a Sunday. I went to the store almost every day. And when did we go to the store? Thursday or Wednesday? Wednesday is when we went to, and Smart and Final actually had, it was, you know, and so now I've gotten to the point now that when I go to the store, if I see something, I don't think about it any, because you know how, I'll come back and get it later. Now, hell no. If you see it, because it was only like three bags of yeast, and it was the compact yeast. So basically, there's enough yeast for me to probably bake until the next millennium. It's been really hard to find, you know, forget finding flour. And I mean, we found sugar, but no flour. I did find cornmeal. Yeah, but it was bread flour, not all-purpose flour. I found bread flour, but not all-purpose flour. I found cornmeal, and I actually made hot water cornbread yesterday. I sent Bob the pictures.
Yo.
Hot water. And it was so funny because when I found the recipe, it said, it was some bougie Negro woman. And she was saying, oh, it used to be made for busy Southern family. I'm like, bitch, no, nah, that shit was, bitch, no, nah, that was made for broke ass Southern families who didn't have eggs and milk to make and flour or whatever to make full on cornbread. That part. You had the cornbread, you had some cornmeal, you might have had some sugar, you might have had some salt, but you knew you had hot water and some lard, and that's what hot water cornbread is. Busy Southern families, my aunt Fanny. Come on now.
Depression era here, there was something my father always referred to as Poorman's gravy.
Exactly.
Poor man's gravy.
What was that?
It was some flour and some fat and some water.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's amazing if you got just a little black pepper laying around, a little bit of salt, it's amazing how damn good that is across, you know, biscuits or toast or whatever. It's, you know, you make a roux and you get it as brown as you want it. It's nice to brown it up because then you get that nutty quality. And then you slowly work your you work your water in and let it thicken. As long as you got some grease, some fat, something, then those molecular gluten chains and proteins and whatnot will stretch out and thicken up and make a passable gravy. And you hit it with the salt and you hit it with the black pepper. And next thing you know, you may be dirt poor, but your belly's warm and your belly's full.
Exactly. It's like Jan refers to my way of cooking is what do you call the baby? Peasant food. Because I made red beans and rice. Oh, this peasant food. I'm like, that peasant food got you to meet your wife. Because if it hadn't been for peasant food, we would have died of starvation. And when I caught
everything,
you know,
that
like,
tastes worth a damn is peasant food.
Is peasant
food. I mean, you know, the merry oldie English royalty ate fucking swans. I mean, it really, you know, and you'll notice they don't live very long, and they turn into people like Henry VIII. You know, Henry VIII was tall and handsome and studly, and then he got to be king, and he turned into Orson Welles, and then he died of gout, or with gout. So,
but that's kind of, wasn't Orson Welles tall and studly and Orson Welles and Marlon Brando, beautiful men.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, Marlon Brando's another case study. Hey, thanks very kindly. Jack in Shreveport just took us down to 340. That's awesome. Libby just took us down to 330. Bernadette jumped in again, took us down to 320. And so we're almost to halfway through yesterday. So thank you one and all. I can't tell you how much of a help this is, because at this point in time we're trying to you know, keep the lights on, keep the program going, get everything you know, as close to out in front as we can get for when this starts, when this gets even weirder than it already is.
I got a question for Tracy.
Go,
Tracy, do you have your sourdough starter already going on?
No. I was helping Jan today with her work, so I haven't started it yet. And Bob actually scared me with what he told me to do my sourdough starter with, so I kind of said, "Oh, fuck that." So no.
Yeah, because you can't get get decent hillbilly fare out there in Granola, Southern California.
Don't go. I have to tell you, it's
a process to start sourdough. But don't be scared by it. What you have to do is you have to give your sourdough starter a name, because you're going to have to feed it every day, and you have to take a little bit out and add a little bit more flour to it. And that's what I was reading.
That was somebody called. I forget which website I went to, and it said they named their sourdough starter George.
Well, tell you the truth, I named mine Bob. But I went and fed Bob every day, and Bob made some good
Bob,
bread.
Okay? Bob, thanks you.
You're welcome. So, yeah, you have to give your starter a name. That was going to be my point. That way you get up and you take care of your pet.
Okay. Yeah, because from what I've been reading, it takes at least a week or so?
Oh, yeah.
It may take longer than that. It depends on how sour you want it. But what I suggest is that you use two or three different kinds of flours to use.
That's what they said, because one said whole wheat flour and regular flour.
Yes.
So right now I only have bread flour and all-purpose flour. I don't have whole wheat, but I know I think I can find it. Who knows?
You know what? You can use rye. I liked it with the whole wheat. I did. It makes a better bread when you have whole wheat in it. But rye, you can use rye. You can use any other, a couple different kinds of flours is the point.
And another little trick that some people are doing is they take some raisins and soak raisins in water and use that water to feed your sourdough, because you pick up a bigger variety of wild yeasts.
And it's all about the wild yeasts.
The other one is, Tracy, I posted in the Skype chat a link to Bob's Red Mill, and they have really good flours, and you might want to give that a number. They do say that they're having some supply problems because of demand, but their employee owners, and there's a picture there, are working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, grinding wheat and making flour, and they will get it shipped out to you.
The other thing, I just had a note from Randy in PA. He said, important. So King Arthur Flour parchment roll is worth the price. And also worth the price is their 25 or 5-pound bags of their organic flours. They at least theoretically have no Roundup, no glyphosate in them, the way that commercial bread products and commercial flours do.
Oh, that's interesting. I have to check them out.
And then of course there are your soft flours, and I don't even know if you can get that in Southern California. The things that are more suited for making biscuits, Southern Biscuit and White Lily being the two prime examples there. And they make the best pans of biscuits going, because it is a soft wheat, and it behaves entirely differently than, say, a Pillsbury or a Hudson Cream. All purpose, because those are made with hard winter wheats.
And then when you really get down into it, you can start looking at the protein content of the flour you got.
Right. That's what I was talking about with the White Lily, because its protein content is dramatically lower than your all purpose or your hard winter wheat flours.
And then you need to buy yourself a kitchen scale, because if you just measure by volume, you're really way off. And then you got to start dealing with the hydration levels and the temperature of the dough. And you can get so deep in the weeds that you'll never see sunlight again.
Well, it's not like I don't have anything else to do. but that's why I figured this will be the time for me to learn how to do sourdough starters and
And what Roger mentioned about the wild yeasts is critical. Because the species or whatever of Saccharomyces that you use for bread baking or for beer is real civilized, and they use it because you get a very standardized result in both instances. But when you're playing in the world of the wild yeasts, anything can happen. And it's those wild yeasts that produce the funky flavors. Sparky just started his lawnmower. No, it's Sparky's lawnmower. Sparky! Hang on. I muted Sparky. I hated to do that. Yeah.
Somebody muted Sparky? Wow. The power.
Good
one, Tracy. Awesome.
Feel the power, Bob.
Yeah, finally somebody muted Sparky.
Yeah, they thought I was crazy, but I muted them with. They thought I was crazy, but I muted them with the strawberries.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Oh jeez.
No, but the two things are the wild yeasts and Roger. Isn't it lactobacillus that contributes to the sourness?
Oh, am I on or not? I'm not sure. I'm not that deep in the weeds.
That's why when you do the starter that I've made in the past, you use whole milk cultured buttermilk with live and active cultures.
Because I can't get whole milk buttermilk especially now I haven't looked, but basically when I do get buttermilk, it's low fat buttermilk. I know.
It's an abomination. Now, that's an abomination. If you want to talk about abominations, you want to talk about, you know, low fat.
How do they make a biscuit or a pan of cornbread in Southern California with no... God bless them.
You make do, and I've that's what I've done. I mean, now when I was younger, they had whole milk, buttermilk, but I'm in California, so
right,
you know.
Yeah, you make do. No, you say fuck it and go to the taco truck and taunt Bob. That's what you do.
Yeah, I have Jan has contradicted me, but it's not whole milk. It's low fat buttermilk. Okay. I'm wrong.
Hey, Tracy in California, do they have almond buttermilk?
Oh God,
that's just revolting.
Oh God,
they have almond everything, right?
Well, I don't. You need the curd from the how can you have almond buttermilk if you don't have the curd and all the stuff?
How can you have your pudding if you don't eat your meat?
Bob is about to pass out. He's like, excuse me, what?
How can you have pudding if you don't eat your meat?
That's how you say it, Bob. Yes, you. Stand still with it. Oh, my God.
Now Jan is yelling at the neighbors to tell it. The problem with people staying at home, and there's more people staying at home, and now we get to hear all of our neighbors doing stuff and seeing stuff. Now, the one cool thing is I'm seeing parents playing outside with their kids, you know, people riding their bikes and doing stuff that they normally don't do. I mean, our beaches aren't closed per se, but the parking lots are. So if you can make it to the beach, you can go, but you can't park. And same with some of the parks and the various trails and stuff. They've closed some trails, but they've definitely closed parking lots so people don't, you know, bum rush the parks and stuff like that. So if you want to go to the park, you got to walk. But they closed off the playground portions of the park. And like the playgrounds parts and the tennis courts and the basketball courts and stuff like that, they've closed those off.
Yeah, same here. You know, I've been concerned about trying to go up and do some mountain hikes that I like to do here in Oregon, just because as you get up a little higher, the trails, obviously, they narrow down. And I'm thinking, well, I don't want to be going past a million people with Inga along a very narrow trail. I really don't want to do that.
Right, that's why they've closed some of the trails here, just to avoid that as well.
You know, Bob, I feel so fortunate because up here where I am, I got 20 acres. If I want to go outside and hike a hill, I could do that. And I don't have to come in contact with anybody. And it's awesome. But I will tell you what's driving me up the wall is that my grandson, whom I watch every day, is out of school for the rest of the year. And I'm stuck in the fourth grade doing fourth grade schoolwork. And I've done this. This is my third time doing the fourth grade. I'm over it because I'm not getting paid like the teachers get paid. I'm over it.
Oh, Bob, did you ever play that clip of the video that I sent you about the President Trump about coming to get about the kids being at home? And if you're going to give stimulus to somebody, you need to give it to the weed man. Because my kids are getting on my goddamn nerves.
No, I did not play that. Jesus Christ, I couldn't. I was banging my head against the door, just playing it when you sent it.
I recently got some stimulus.
Well, in all truth, we talk about things are going to be different when this is over. We're going to learn some lessons. So, for instance. In California, the weed store is an essential business. Am I correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so
yeah, in Oregon too. As well.
Yes, so, I am.
so in Massachusetts, on the other hand, the medicinal weed store is an essential business, but the recreational weed store isn't.
What?
Or so, so I've been informed by some Massachusettsians.
We don't necessarily have two different stores for that.
No, we don't. In Oregon, as far as I know, we don't.
In California, you know, there's two different stores. And then, there can be.
And then meanwhile, and like New Mexico, they've only got medicinal. Medicinal weed stores are open in New Mexico. But here in a prohibition state, and I think this is something to really be concerned about. Potheads are not going to stop being potheads.
No, they're not.
Just because there's a virus running around.
No.
And, you know, buying weed on the, what'd you call it, Roger, the cash market?
Yeah.
Is a sketchy, is and always has been a sketchy proposition. And so in a time of social distancing, when we're not supposed to be visiting with one another, I mean, if you live with like three people in a house, you're not supposed to, even though you're not supposed to be in groups of more than three or whatever, that doesn't mean that one person from your house can go visit two people in another house, because that still spreads the disease. This is an argument, and remember, West Virginia is in so many ways fucked up, but so fucked up in this way because we were supposed to have medical marijuana by July of last year, and the Republicans still can't get their shit together or don't want to get their shit together because Jesus, and so we still don't have legal medical marijuana. And so so everybody that wants to get high is still like checking in with a dude to see if, hey man, have you got, and yeah, okay, I'll meet you, blah, blah. And that becomes a vector of the disease.
Absolutely.
Well, in Oregon, there you can't walk into the store anymore, and some of the bud tender shops are getting a little pissed because most of your weed connoisseurs want to smell the weed that they're going to buy. But now you got to call them on the phone.
Yeah, Roger, and order those fuckers up your, need to suffer quietly, okay?
Yeah, but I mean, now you got to call them up and say, well, yeah, I want 50 grams of OG Perp, or Perp OG, whatever the hell you want to call it. And they'll bundle it all up, and then you call them up and say, I'm outside your front door, and they'll walk out and sell it to you. But you don't get to go in the store.
No. Right. It's like that in Nevada also.
Yeah, that's why I said suffer quietly. It's legal weed. Are y'all are the bud connoisseurs already that jaded and spoiled? Obviously, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for somebody to come up with a strain, and maybe it should be the first legal strain in West Virginia. Sausage and gravy Kush.
Mm.
You know, because weed kind of has that sagey quality to it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, sausage gravy Kush.
Ooh, unfortunately,
yes, make
my
a biscuits and bacon gravy for breakfast tomorrow. I'm never going to lose weight again.
Unfortunately, my kid isn't into breeding and creating new strains. He just wants to clone shit. So I can't steal that name from you.
So Tracy, has this quarantine been tough on you? Have you done some backsliding?
Oh God, fuck yeah.
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 I mean, I weighed myself today, and I mean, considering, you know, how much I've eaten and I'm not been moving as much as I should, I've only gained 4 pounds.
Okay.
So that's not terrible, but I need not to get terrible. My ass in gear. I mean, it's just.
Well, you know, one thing about getting COVID is Chris Cuomo lost 13 pounds in 3 days, for example.
Well, I don't want. It's, no, it's,
that's not
I
the way to lose it. I know.
You know, it's like getting the stomach flu. Well, I lost. I lost 15 pounds, but everything was coming out from both ends. No, thank you.
No.
Well, I mean, God
you.
Almighty, how much did Steve from Georgistan lose on the pancreatitis diet?
Oh God.
I mean, you can shed some serious weight, but it ain't no good way to do it.
Yeah. Well,
anyone seen Rush Limbaugh lately?
I went from 310, and I'm down in the 230 range now.
Oh, whoa. My God. Wow.
How much do you weigh now?
I'm down to 239, and I was at 310 before I got
this. Oh, my God.
Mess.
Do you feel better, Steve, or not?
Oh, 10 times better. My gosh, I'm not carrying around a small child or a medium-sized child anymore.
Yeah, you know, that's a fourth grader. Or no, is that a fifth grader? If you had,
yeah.
I went down to my high school weight when I had a burst appendix, like, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. I got down to like 165. I was too thin, though.
And the doctor's thrilled. She says, keep it up. We'll get you back to your high school weight, and then we'll worry about leveling you off. You know, right now I'm just eating one meal a day.
Okay.
And that's why it's falling off, because I'm trying to give my pancreas and my liver and all that a break from all the years of abuse. And I don't mean to make this sound like an AA meeting or anything, but it is what it is, you know?
Yogurt diet?
Bob turned me on to a lot of really cool yogurt, man.
Cool.
And I've been sticking with that. And it fills you up and it works, you know? It works.
I just had a yogurt myself.
I just did. Just now finished one.
Chobani.
Hey, Steve, I got some really cool. I make dips from non-fat Greek yogurt.
That's good.
I've got some of that in the Frigidaire right now. I just need to spice it.
You know what you need to get? I don't know if you can get, but peanut butter powder. So they have chocolate peanut butter powder and regular peanut butter powder. And it's not a lot of sugar or anything like that. You get that. You mix some peanut butter powder with some Greek yogurt and a little honey, and boy howdy, with your strawberries, with your, you know, I used to dip strawberries, bananas, whatever. And also you can make yourself, if you like blue cheese, same thing, get you some blue cheese, some low fat mayonnaise. Yes, I said mayonnaise.
That reminds me, I got to make another batch of pimento cheese real soon.
See, you're just doing that shit just to fuck with Tracy? Me. I know.
I think we need to record Tracy saying mayonnaise, kind of like we got to record Scotty saying, Bob, we're all screwed.
We're all screwed, Bob.
Tracy, the peanut butter. Peanut butter powder, you said?
Yes.
Where do you find that? I mean, because
you could order it from Amazon. It's called, they have different kinds. I use PB Fit, but if you could go to the grocery store, typically, before Armageddon hit, is in the peanut butter aisle, because if you're not looking for it, you won't see it. But once you start looking for it, they have like a whole row. I know I'm in California, but you're in Connecticut, so you're in a civilized state. So at the grocery store,
I guess
they would sell in Georgia. Powdered peanut butter. What the hell is that?
In Georgia. No, Steve, you know, in Georgia, they snort that shit.
or make bathtub crank out of it or something.
Exactly. What were you asking me, Darlene? I mean, if they don't sell it at your grocery store, you can get it on Amazon.
But Tracy, I have a bigger question, because when it comes to cooking, I really suck at it. So where do you find your recipes? Because I get overwhelmed, because there's probably like 2 billion different recipes a person could cue into. Like, interesting yogurt-based dip?
That was a Weight Watchers recipe, and I could just send you the recipe.
Okay. Okay.
Have Bob send your email and send me.
Okay.
Yeah, no, just send me. Are you on Facebook, Darlene?
I am, sister. Come on, let's friend each other on Facebook. Okay, yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll find you on Facebook. I don't know your last name, but
I'll send it to Bob, and then
I'm going to have Bob give you my contact information too. Send me some of those recipes. I ain't got nothing to do but mix stuff up.
My favorite sites as far as where I find my recipes are Inspired Tastes, Inspired Tastes, Delish. And there's a couple other ones, but I do a lot. There's a something Pound Saver, and they have low fat, low cal recipes that are amazing. And they actually have a Weight Watchers thing. So a lot of my stuff, I
A Mediterranean taste. Oh my God. I found some amazing, because I sent Bob, I made the other day, I did a whole Mediterranean thing. That's why I got crazed on the flatbread. I did the flatbread. I did tabbouleh, tzatziki, nice. And lula kebab, and hummus. And I did it all from scratch.
Man, that sounds awesome.
Oh, it was so good.
Oh my God.
Let me tell you how easy hummus is to make. You just need garbanzo beans.
Garbanzo beans, yep.
And olive oil and garlic.
And a little tzatziki.
Right. I bet it's better than the prepackaged.
Not tzatziki.
Tahini. My bad.
And that
cream and cucumbers in.
Sounds pretty damn good to me, Steve. But you're absolutely right.
Let me tell you now, Bob. You know, because as much as I hate mayonnaise, I hate dill as much. No,
really?
It's not a hate. It's a strong dislike. But so I made my first batch of tzatziki, but I did, instead of dill, I put in the mint and garlic and stuff. Mm. And then the other day, I added just a smidge of dill, and it was not bad. So,
Tracy, can I ask you a logical question because of your hatred of dill and mayonnaise? what do you think of sour
cream? Oh, I love sour cream. Sour cream is my jam.
Okay, so if you were to, just as a suggestion, if you were to mix like a hardcore dill dip, like a TJ Marcetti's dill dip with sour cream and dip pumpernickel bread into it, heaven, saying.
Yeah. There's another dairy product out there, and it's primarily a German thing, but you can find it in civilization in the United States, called Quark, like Q-U-A-R-K.
Quark.
And it's not creme fraiche, and it's not sour cream, but it's heavenly.
Is it a cross between creme fraiche? Is it somewhere between creme fraiche and sour cream?
Yeah.
Or is it thicker than creme fraiche? Or, you know,
it's
isn't quark a subatomic particle?
That too. Yeah, that too.
Okay.
It's the basis of that. And this is the time of year for it in Frankfurt. Something called Frankfurter Grünsoße, which I've been pining for ever since I tasted it. 8 years ago, and have never had it again. It's this quark-based green herbal melange dip sauce. It was said to be the favorite snack of Goethe, and you serve it with hot peeled boiled potatoes and boiled eggs. And God,
where do you find? Okay, can I ask a 30,000-foot view question here about food and food porn?
Yeah,
sure.
Where do you find this stuff? Like, I get so intimidated when it comes to cooking and food and recipes. It's like there are probably a trillion different options and recipes that you can go for. It's like I never know what to pick. Like, I don't know what to do. It's like I feel so intimidated by it.
This is how I do it. This is how I do it when I do my search. Say there's something like what I did like the other day when I was looking how to make tabbouleh. I Googled it and I started I looked at the ratings of the recipes, and then I picked like three or four because basically they're all the same. And I picked three or four and read them through. And what I do is, sometimes I combine, you know, like one recipe, like when I did the tzatziki, one recipe had to add mint and another one didn't. So what I do is, as I'm looking at I'll pick three or four recipes for one thing, and I kind of make my own recipe. If I see something in the different recipes that sound good in that one particular recipe, I pick different parts of that recipe and just incorporate my own kind of thing into it. But like I said, just look at the different recipes, like three or four, and pick the ones that seem that won't seem as difficult, because there's some that are on a whole nother spectrum of like stupid crazy, like you're on Iron Chef making this shit. And then there's the, and then there's the ones there's the ones that are just really basic and simple. And that's how you, and that's how I do it, because I'm a, okay. I'm a recipe cook, but I'm also a by taste cook. So I can look at a recipe and say, okay, I want this part of the recipe. I want this ingredient and just make my, you know, kind of make my own. But when you first start off, that's how I started. And like I said, the best, that's the best way. It's just look at the recipes and read them. And what seems the least difficult, if it has this, the ingredients that you can, that you have, or that you are, that are available to you. And it doesn't seem, like I said, that you have to do Iron Chef shit to do, get it done. That's the recipe you go for.
Right. And well, see, I think
thank you for giving me permission. Sorry, Bob, I just real quick to Tracy. I thank you for giving me permission, because I'm too rigid. Like, I'm just so insecure about my cooking abilities. I'm too rigid. And it's like, I get overwhelmed. Like, Bob, I'm so amazed at your grasp of all these different recipes and barbecuing. And I have to talk to you about, at some point, about a really good grilling type option for me as somebody with a disability who has a huge deck out at the front of her back, her backyard. But, oh, you know, I want to get my... I'm afraid, I don't know what to do. And it's like, I just get so overwhelmed, because I look at all these it's like, where do I begin?
You know, that's,
you know,
a, that's
because
a,
I want to try a, different things.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating concept of, and differently abled people probably don't think about it that way. But, you know, given your status, you know, are you comfortable with open charcoal flame, or
no? I have this big charbroil grill that I bought 14 years ago when I first bought the house. It's too cumbersome for me now. Everything has to adjust and change. Like, I'm thinking more along the lines of the pellets. You've mentioned them before on your program in terms of grilling.
Asa swears by the pellet smokers.
Like something that's lightweight for me to fill up, and like the charbroil grill is a great grill, but I always get freaked out because it's propane based and you press that button and there's this huge bam boom, you know, as it lights up the grill, and I always get a little freaked out about it.
There's
a problem if it goes kaboom.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But that's a wish. I mean, but I know what you mean, Darlene, because the first time I used propane, because I grew up using charcoal. When the first time I used propane, and it's that click, 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 and it whoosh, I'm like, what the fuck is
right.
this?
And you know what, Roger and Tracy, what's really scary is my oven does that, and it's been looked at already, because the certain pilot lights go out, and I have a propane fed oven, and I'm worried because every time I light the thing up, there's this huge boom, and I hear another boom, and I'm like, oh God, there's something wrong with this stove. So I get nervous about it, because I like gas fired, propane fired stoves and stuff, but I'm worried about like blowing myself up when I start it. So that's just inside the house, but I'm thinking like,
well,
there are a lot of options
for you. I mean, depending on what your setup would be on your deck, if you had like a ceramic or, you know, something heat resistant, bricks, even, you could get the little Acorn Junior.
An Acorn grill. That's kind of what I'm thinking. It's like an Acorn.
But that's still charcoal. I mean, that's charcoal. But the Acorn. Oh, okay. But for your usage, you can do a pork butt or a slab of ribs on the Acorn Junior, and you're not messing with a whole bunch of charcoal. And even with your power chair, you could put it on bricks and set it low enough that you're just sitting in your chair, and you reach and you open up. And you put your charcoal in, you put one of those little Weber paraffin cubes on it. You light the cube, and you go away. And when it comes back and it's nice and hot and you got nice white-coated coals, you throw your wet hickory on, you put your grill plate on, put the butt on, close the lid, adjust the dampers, and don't come back for 12 hours.
Okay, I just want to let you know that I got, oddly, somebody kicked me off of the of Skype, and I couldn't hear what you just said. It said somebody kicked me off. So I just got in, and I only caught the tail end, but I assume it was taped, so I'll listen to it later.
Yeah, it's part of the archive. Somebody, and
hey, Darlene?
Yeah? Who kicked me off?
This is Steve.
I want to know. Hi, Steve.
I'm sorry to interrupt. There's a really good cookbook called 7 Ingredients or Less. I also just emailed you a couple websites that are geared towards making things that have 7 or less ingredients.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that because I like it simple.
I think the principle. Yeah, one of my favorite websites, it's allrecipes.com.
Yeah, they're very
good.
You can actually
specify in there, you know, kosher or low carb halal, or you can specify an ingredient or how long you want the cooking time to be, how long you want the preparation time to be. And it's actually got some really good stuff.
When I Google stuff like what Tracy suggests, I will get all recipes and various things, but there's just so much. I don't know how professional cooks, like my stepdaughter is a professional cook. I don't know how people choose a recipe. There's just so many things, you know,
And here's the thing about all recipes is what you'll find on there is, like Tracy said, you'll find people who rate it, give it a number of stars. But don't just look at the stars. You read what people say, because a lot of times what people will tell you is, you know, I tried this recipe and I found it better if I added this or took that out or cooked it this amount of time, or I made it simpler, or such and such a recipe is better and it's simpler. So it's Bob can probably testify to this. It's more than a recipe site. It's kind of like a recipe site plus, where you get people who cook and will give feedback on the recipes. So, and like, yeah. Again, like Tracy said, you look at one and you start reading what people say. And if it sounds too complicated, you say, okay, I don't want that one. I still want to make this dish. I just don't want to make it. I don't want one that's that complicated.
If I could add something, one thing I do with all recipes, Darlene, is I look at the number of stars, like, you know, 1 to 5 stars, and I want to get something that's got at least 4 stars, and I don't want it to take like 6 hours. So if we're looking to make like a cioppino soup, which is like a seafood kind of soup, you know, we pick something that's going to take maybe 2 hours or something like that. So, you know, maybe we don't have lobster, we throw in shrimp instead. I mean, you know, you substitute. You know, maybe you're going to throw in some, you know, oregano and sage or whatever, you know, instead of the spices that are called for. So you just sort of, you know, it's kind of trial and error. And you add the spice and then you stir the pot and taste it. It's like, oh, this needs a little like red pepper. I got to kick it up a notch. So you add some red pepper and you stir it and then you taste it again. It's like, oh, yeah, that's better. So it's sort of like, you know,
You just said kick it up a notch. Henceforward, you're billable Emeril, okay?
Do I get a cowbell for being billable Emeril or not?
Okay.
You're right, Rick. It's like I've gotten better over time at, like, you know, trying to match spices, and it's sort of something you learn over time.
Stick with the spices you like and use those. You know, that's sort of what I do.
And by the way, he's another one of our practitioners of the art of food knowing, and that's Brother Deacon Asa, who a little while ago chimed in with an absolute truth. Non-fat Greek yogurt is a hate crime. What's next? Non-fat bacon? But
on a
more practical note, as far as like the pellet grills are concerned, Darlene, Brother Deacon Asa is guessing that's a real hard pass for you.
Because, okay, that's cool.
Because they
that's
are,
what I appreciate that.
He says they're cumbersome to load and clean, and plus you'd have to heave around on a 50-pound bag of pellets, which would probably not be ideal for you under the circumstances.
Would not work for me.
I just got
kicked off too.
That wasn't me.
Okay.
Bob, one thing to you.
Yeah.
I just happened to be looking for Clark. There's some recipes on All Recipes to make your own.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And there's actually a German deli here in New York. Given that they sell food, it may be open. I'll see if I can make a trip up there some point and see if they have it.
Well, no, if it's a German deli this time of year, just do yourself a favor and ask if they make Frankfurter Grundsoße and take it home for yourself and boil some potatoes and some eggs.
And say that five times fast there, buddy.
And prepare.
What is it?
It's a Quark-based cold sauce with a melange of herbs that we generally don't grow here.
It's green, though, right?
Yeah, it's green. That's why it's Grundsoße.
Yeah.
And you serve it with hot boiled potatoes and boiled eggs. And I'm not even that big on just plain boiled eggs. I couldn't get enough. I'd never tasted such a wonderful combination of herbs. And, it was heavenly, just heavenly. And, I mean, you can find the recipe for it, but it's going to call for herbs that you've never heard, New York, you might find those, too.
See, now you got me all goddamn curious. Frankfurter Grundsoße.
But I remember asking about it at Café Berlin in D.C., which is way German. I mean, seriously German. Among other things, they get their Würsten provided to them from our dear friends at Binkert's. And, it's fantastic. But I asked about it there, and they were like, no, we cannot do that. We do not have the herbs. The herbs. So I pronounce the H in the herbs, like the English. But yeah, I mean, just look, and it was Goethe's favorite food on earth, and of course Goethe being from Frankfurt, it's magnificent.
I'm looking at a recipe. I recognize all of this stuff. The herbs: parsley, cress, chives, borage. Or barrage, salad, burnet, sorrel, chervil.
Chervil,
yes. Donaldo, hot soup, and corp, what?
But, it's...
Oh, that was good.
Unless I grew it all myself, I would never be able to have it here. But it's yummy. It's really, really yummy.
Are we getting ready to... getting ready to go?
I'm getting ready to bail out, because I just want to say...
I want to say one last thing is, if... Look, we had this discussion at the beginning about toilet paper and stuff, and I'm serious. If anybody is having a hard time and getting hard up, you know, please let me know. And for whatever reason, it's a little more expensive, 6 rolls of toilet paper for $11, but, you know, it's available.
Ditto, Steve. It's readily available here, too.
Yeah.
So far, I mean, there are a few shortages here and there, but for the most part, if it's not hand sanitizer or rubbing alcohol or toilet paper, I'm not having a whole lot of problems getting it. Will it stay that way if this thing runs months and months and months? I don't think there's any way of knowing. I do want to close on a couple of... on a couple of notes. One, I want to thank everybody for helping us knock things down as far as we did. I think we got down to like 320, which means if we got another $20 in, we'd have half of yesterday done, fully half. But if maybe somebody on the overnight crew will take a bite out of that, it would be great. It's wonderful to have new folks jumping in like Bernadette. Thank you, Bernadette. And you know, we'll keep things. You know, I'm just paying bills and hanging on. But a last piece of news on the way out the door that's probably going to make people scream. It's deeply disturbing to me. I understand social distancing and all of that, but this is creepy fascism. David in South Carolina, Stan, sent this along, and it's an individual named Mar Hicks on Twitter retweeting a thread from Sarah Kendzior, who is fantastic. My buddy Rick Smith has had her on his program. She's prophetic, and she retweets a thread from Sarah Kendzior from September 16th of 2018. Year and a half ago. Today, the U.S. government used the coronavirus as an excuse to stop issuing new passports indefinitely. Sarah Kendzior warned us this move would be coming 2 years ago. So we're going to be all about, let's revive the airlines, let's save the airlines, everybody go fly somewhere, but if you don't have a passport, you're fucked. And I think mine has expired, and that worries the hell out of me now. I got to check once we're done. But, yeah, passports.
You plan on going somewhere, Bob?
Oh, no, I'd like to.
Anytime soon?
Obviously not anytime soon, but, you know, I've had this running desire to go and see Rome on the Ides of March. I'd like to go to France and see the medieval castles of the Angevin Empire, things like that.
Well, I don't think you're going to be able to go anywhere for a couple of years.
I don't know if it's going to be a couple of years, 3 years, whatever. But the thing is, the people who should go it'll be made possible for them to go. This is another effort to. Well,
you know what, Bob?
Suppress the American people's rights.
We really need to focus on getting this idiot out of the White House. And once he's gone, hopefully we'll have somebody in there with some freaking common sense that'll know how to run something like this. Because this man is just a shit show.
He's a menace.
You're right.
All
right, Bernadette.
Yeah, he is a menace to humanity, Bernadette.
Yes.
The way I look at this is, could you imagine Trump running America in World War II? You know, fighting the Nazis. We would have lost. We'd all be speaking German now.
Oh no.
Commander-in-Chief back then.
Yeah. It would have been the man in the high
tower. Can I just say something?
It would have been the man in the high tower or the high castle.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can I just say something real quick, then I'll shut up? I wrote about this somewhere. I don't remember. I think what we need to get used to doing and saying is that this is not that he is not incompetent. He's very competent. He's very competent at what he's doing. And what does he know how to do is he knows how to destroy. He knows how to destroy and then pick up. And like a vulture, feed off the carrion and pick up what's left and profit off of it. And if you think about it, that's exactly how he has done things his entire life with buying companies and declaring bankruptcy. And, you know, to the extent that he has any money, and, you know, I agree with Bob that I think he's super broke. But we need to, you know, I think we need to begin to frame it in a different way. Because saying he's incompetent almost lets him off the hook. Well, he didn't know what he was doing. Bless his heart.
No, he knows exactly what he's doing.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
He's profiting off of people dying.
I think it's even worse than that. I think he is intentionally tanking the economy so that he can steal.
Everything funnels back to him.
Yeah, and his boss.
And Steve, the apprentice is a great example of what you're talking about. He loves conflict and he feeds off of conflict. So, you know, just like, you know, Republicans have done their entire existence, aside from maybe Lincoln, it's fomenting the conflict between whites who don't have much and blacks who have even less, and watching them battle it out between each other. You know, people of all colors, right, or sexual orientations, fomenting that conflict, and they reap the benefits. And like you said it perfectly, like a carrion, you know, vulture feeding off the carcass.
This is a hot civil war.
He doesn't care. He's a textbook psychopath. Period.
Yeah, that's a great point, Chris, that you raised there. Absolutely excellent point.
It's red versus blue now. This is the Civil War part two. I'm sorry. We are here.
You know what he has done in all of this?
We are here.
He's done two things. He's exposed the Republican Party for what it is. And he's also pointed out that our Constitution is literally broken and it needs to be fixed.
Yeah, you're right, Bernadette. And you know,
yeah, there, as far as the Constitution goes, there's a list.
Chris, you
oh, and let
me make that correlation. Like Chris made that really quick. Chris made that correlation with The Apprentice. That's what this is about. It's his failed attempts at TV stardom.
And we're all stuck in a fucking reality show? Yeah. This shit ain't funny.
It's all the same.
No, it's not. And let me add one more thing for the purpose of exit screaming. Jeremy in Vermont sent this information along, and it's I just did a quick check, and it's absolutely true. Brian Kemp, the incompetent, racist-adjacent, white supremacist-adjacent, illegitimate governor of Georgia, has reopened Georgia's beaches.
Mm-mm.
What?
What the fuck?
What?
Well, you got to have that tourism, just... Bob, you know? What's the economy going to do without that beach tourism, huh? Jeez. What fucking morons?
They're dead.
They're wiping out their own face, though. And I say to everybody down there in Georgia that wants to go to the beach, knock yourselves out. Because there'd be less of you motherfuckers going to the polls in November.
Yeah. Hey, Bob.
I'm staying my black ass at home, okay?
hey, Bob. You know,
wait a minute.
I'm looking at... That was good. I'm looking at the stories about the passports, and this is chilling.
Yes.
This is North Korea shit.
Hmm. Yeah.
This makes an American citizen who doesn't have a passport who feels the need to flee. Don't think that's not going to happen. A refugee.
That's what happened in China when they reopened up everything and people wanted to flee and they beat them down and wouldn't let them out.
Hey, Bernadette, can I circle back to something you were talking about? We were talking about.
Well, hey, listen, y'all, listen, just because I split doesn't mean y'all have to. So because I don't, you know, I'm not controlling the call, but I'm going to wrap things up here so I can get everything uploaded. And I thank you all for a wonderful Friday conversation. Many thanks to everybody who kicked in to help take a bite out of the fundraising deficit. Thank you so very much. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever means you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thanks to Sparky. And congratulations on the new mower. On the front porch. Thank you to our news ninjas. Hoping good things for you, Ann in particular. Hi, Gene. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, head on.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch.
WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody, even if it's all weekend for a little while. Back for with plenty of Morans come Moran Monday. Stay home, wash your hands, be safe, wear a mask if it makes you feel better, and we will talk soon. Later, y'all.